last time on the Don and Mike Show.
The Bette Midler Show.
Oh.
What is the deal with her head?
Olivia Newton-John was on that show last night, and she's like had some chisel work done also.
I know what Frida said, but she's watching this awful Bette Midler show.
And I said, what the hell happened to Olivia Newton-John? She turns to me and goes, she had breast cancer. Yeah, I said, well, great. Does that affect her face?
The Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
The son of a beats.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
That's right.
But turn your radio down. No, who would you do call? Don't call to play the name game. No calls to rate women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town. And don't call telling jokes.
You magnificent bastard! I salute you!
The Don and Mike Show! You can get it! Move to your left! Move to your right! The Don and Mike Show! The best thing you're gonna find! The Don and Mike Show! On your radio!
What?
Get into it!
The Don and Mike Show!
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
This is TV's Leah Remini. Jack Diamond is a horse's ass.
Way down upon the Herbert River, far, far away. Well, I've got sand in every nook and cranny. Pants are wet all day. Yeah.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Oh, Mad Dog, we hardly knew ye.
Oh, baby.
But someday she'll be going to a better place.
Oh?
Where she'll shake hands with the Son of God.
Right.
Bill Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I'm Rob A. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK, and I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
Hey, what do you say, fans?
A word of advice to Mad Dog.
Yeah.
When you shake Bill's hand, don't squeeze too hard. Watch out for the nail hole.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Leaking Brain and all the ships at sea.
Oh.
Hey, close those chili parlors. It's time for Don and Mike.
Yes, close the K-L-O-S-E, though.
Close.
Hello, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
All of you Billy Cleary out there, listening to us coast to coast and nationwide via Westwood One. Which, I believe it's one of those, what do you call it when you can spell a different word using the letters?
An acronym?
Yeah.
Yes.
I believe you take the letters of Westwood One,
yeah,
you scramble them up,
right?
It spells useless.
Sure it does.
That is the network bringing you the show today. It's a new episode on Friday. February 9th. Phone number same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. Our phone number, 877-365-3636. 877-365-3636.
Yeah.
That's it.
Welcome to my world.
877-365-3636. Very good.
Your brain and my brain and everybody's brain scrambled from yesterday's show.
Yeah, yesterday. We're going to give you a brief recap of you if you're along the network and you're on one of the stations that cuts us off early. We had yesterday a record show. It's the longest show we've ever done.
Yep, pretty amazing.
The show went 5 hours yesterday.
Because of lots of Billy Cleary.
Yes.
Built with you in mind.
Built with you in mind.
Built with you
down upon the Herbert River, far,
yeah.
far away.
Sing it, you old bitch.
Well, I've got sand in every nook and cranny. Pants are wet all day. Yeah.
There she is.
That's Mad Dog.
The late, great Mad Dog.
Marilyn.
The yeah. best person is gone from Survivor. Yes, the best person is gone.
Right. Yesterday's show was one for the archives.
Mm-hmm.
Very late in the show, we got a call from a guy who claimed that he had been drugging his wife and raping her while she was passed out.
Right.
And, I mean, that ended almost 8 o'clock East Coast time last night.
Yeah, it was truly amazing. You know, we went on and on and on with this idiot and, and really got satisfaction at the end of the whole thing when his wife did call and say he really doesn't do that. He's just an idiot who thought it would be the best story. And, it ended up where there was satisfaction on our part.
Yeah, but that is the recap. If you were listening and you're along the network, one of those stations that cuts us off after 4 hours, that's what happened right after we were taken off the network. The guy's wife called it and said, oh, my God, I just turned on the radio and I don't believe
right.
what a horse's ass my husband is.
It was truly amazing. And that was, a solid hour and a half worth of talking to this moron.
A grand show it was yesterday. Yeah. A grand show we will have for you today.
Hey.
Let me start with something visual. I'll do it very quickly.
Okay.
It's not to bore those of you who cannot see what's going on in here. Mike, here is the fake driver's license that Bart made.
Okay.
As you can see.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
If he was to get that laminated.
You know, it's a blurry enough picture of him where that, might pass. You really can't. Well, you can't identify it as a kid. But, wow, look at this.
And look at the back of it. Take a look at the back.
Oh, God.
I mean, I still don't know what internet site my kid went to make this Indiana driver's license.
Right. You put some lamination on that.
Yeah, and you can go into any bar in Georgetown on the NBA All-Star Weekend, and you're hooked up.
My goodness.
Amazing.
Yeah?
Wow, where's the birth date? I'm trying to see. 83. February 4th, 1983. It's got everything on there. It's got the... It's got his signature, Steve Tanner. That is too funny. That is hysterical.
Amazing.
So now that's like a keepsake, right?
Yeah, it's something we're just going to hold on to. Issue date, 2499, expires 203. Got a fake Social Security number. Got Bart's fake signature on there and everything.
You know, that you put the lamination on there, it makes it, I would imagine that it makes it a little more authentic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, except it looks like a 15-year-old kid.
I think my feeling would be any experienced bouncer, any experienced doorman in America would immediately question that one. Because that's all subjective for you fake ID users out there. That is not. It's not like if it's legitimate, you've got a legitimate beef. You know, it's the bartender or maybe the bouncer's discretion as to whether they let you in or not.
Stephen Jacob Tanner, Mockingbird Lane,
Mockingbird Lane,
Indianapolis, Indiana.
There it is right there.
You know what? I'll find out over the weekend from Barty what website he went to. And maybe we can all make fake IDs on the show next week.
Great. Yeah, but of course we'd make them to be younger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Exactly.
As to work to our benefit.
No, really, I'm 20.
Okay, so listen. I know you're probably going to have this in the news today, Buzz, but I had to just share a brief moment of CBS karma that it's good to know that the bad things that happen to us happen to other famous people in CBS.
Hey, wonderful. I like this already.
Okay, last night, during his TV show, David Letterman, he's got the top 10 list.
Yes.
His writers come up with a list of the top 10 best reasons to sue CBS.
Right. Right. We gotta like Letterman. Yeah. Leno wouldn't do that on his worst day.
Because, the girl from Survivor from
right.
the last one, she's suing, alleging that it was rigged.
Yeah, saying the whole thing was fixed.
They came to Letterman before the show, and they said, guess what? You do that list, this show doesn't get on the air. You gotta come up with another top 10 list. So the headlines in the New York papers today are Letterman is pissed out of his mind that they would not let him air the top 10 reasons to sue CBS.
It's nice to know it happens at the top two. Yeah, that makes me feel a lot better.
And to make it even worse, they actually, when they taped the show, used that list, top 10 reasons to sue CBS. They had to keep the audience later, beyond the end of the normal taping, and do a whole nother segment with a whole nother top 10 list that could be edited in for that night's broadcast.
Wow.
So, see, it doesn't only happen to us.
Isn't that nice, old Dave? But, you know, you got to like Letterman for doing that anyway. I mean, Letterman has always taken on the brass.
Right.
And, you know, and Leno wouldn't... You imagine Leno saying, "Top reason is to NBC." You know, it wouldn't happen.
No, Jay Leno would be like, "What? Well, his last contract negotiation. You know,
right.
Top 10 reasons I signed my contract in 15 minutes.
Sure, exactly.
Top 10 reasons I didn't even ask for a raise this year.
Exactly.
Jay Leno, please. Well, Dave, you know, if you happen to be listening tonight in Midtown Manhattan, and you want a shoulder to cry on,
right,
call us.
We do feel your pain.
We know what it's like to be censored by CBS.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now, on with today's show.
Oh, God damn, we got tons of stuff to get to. I got lots of tapes to play for you.
Got the tape of the guy screaming out our names on Politically Incorrect.
Oh, wonderful. So they didn't edit it out.
Nope. We've got some good Larry King on the View tapes to listen to. and listen, need help on this, because I was not able to run the tape on this. If anybody has the tape of last night's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
I tuned in like at the very end, and I don't think... Was our guy at the beginning or the end?
He was kind of in the middle.
He's in the middle, okay.
Now, I watched it. The guy's question that he used the lifeline on, and I don't remember the exact question. If anybody's out there has got it, call up, because I'd like to know if Rob knows the answer. Mm-hmm. Here's what happened. You know that last week this guy calls us up on the show and he says, "Hey, I'm going to be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I want Rob A to be my lifeline."
Rob A was excited. We were excited. And we actually had Rob A standing by for the taping.
Mm-hmm. All right. So for 3 hours, you know, Bobo sat in a room back there waiting for the phone to ring. And the guy didn't use Rob as his lifeline. So on the show, they come to a question about flowers. And this guy is stumped. This Poindexter who listens to our show.
Mm-hmm.
He's stumped. So he says, "You know what? I'm going to have to phone a friend." So he calls a friend, and Regis says, "Hi, you're on the air. Your 30 seconds starts now." The guy reads the question to him, some question about flowers. He's phone a friend, the one that he used?
Yeah.
"I have no idea."
Rob, did you know anything about that?
We're going to wait until someone calls with the actual question to see if Rob could have answered.
Okay, you don't know what it is.
I wasn't home to watch it. I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
So I'm curious if someone can bring me the exact question. I don't know. Flowers aren't my strong suit.
I bet he would have gotten it, though.
Rob, see, one of the things about Rob, it's not just pop culture. Rob knows pretty much anything in the retail arena. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of merchant stuff.
So the guy says, "I have no idea."
So his lifeline was a total bust.
So the Poindexter reads him the question again, and as the clock is ticking, 5, 4, 3, 2, all you hear is the guy on the phone say, "I really wish I could help. I have no..." And then... He's gone.
He's gone. So he was let down. At least Rob could have hazarded a guess.
Yeah.
The guy didn't even want to guess.
Hell yeah.
That sucks. Well, the guy deserves it.
Yep.
Right.
So if anybody's got that,
he ought to call us back so we can talk to him about it. Now, we won't bust his chops too bad, but I'd like to, you know, say Rob would have done a better job.
Well, let's see if anybody has the question to see if Rob would have answered it. Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Adana Mike Show.
Got the question.
Okay, Robbie, step up now. 30 seconds. Let's give Robbie 30 seconds to think about this.
It's a botany question. Okay.
Okay. Are you ready, Rob? Ready? And go ahead. Ask him the question.
What kind of flower has the pipe to come in? Either spoons, pom-poms, and spiders. Roses.
No, hold on.
Wait, you're not
reading the question.
Fascinating the question. What are you doing?
Do it again.
Okay, what? Which flower?
Are you really reading the question?
No, I'm not reading it.
No, he's paraphrasing it. No, thank you. We need someone who has the actual verbiage that they use.
I think you go to the web. I do too, actually,
right.
Based on that. If you go to the web, don't they print out the question?
Tulip wasn't an answer.
The guy said tulip.
No, tulip was not one of the four answers.
There was roses, tulip.
It was like chrysanthemums.
Well, don't
hello,
answer
Don Mike Show.
Try.
Oh, man, the little helper before me ruined it. I wrote it down myself, but I'm in the wrong car right now. The question was, what type of flowers does come in
spoons, spoons or spiders. I can't remember what the minimum was.
All right,
and the answers to choose from.
Okay, no. We don't want to know the answer yet. I just had to hang up on you.
Can anyone retain it that watched it?
Look at the picture. Listen, I watched it. I couldn't retain it.
This is really a marvelous portrait of an ABC viewer.
Hey, you're looking at it. I watched it last night.
You had a reason to watch it.
And I thought, gee, I should remember this question, but then I thought, nah, I don't care enough.
Well, I know there was a does in there that shouldn't have been there.
Hello?
What kinds of flowers does?
Don and Mike, hello?
Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I got the question for you.
Do you have the actual verbatim question?
It's not verbatim, not right in front of me, but I know it.
All right, give it a shot.
Okay, it was, which flower blooms with the following bulbs? It was spider, ponton, or spoon. And the choices were rose, chrysanthemum, peony, and, the last one slipped in my mind.
You didn't have the question right either.
No, he didn't have it right. Hello. Don, please turn your radio down, please.
I got the question.
All right, please turn your radio down.
All right. Christine.
Please. How can you possibly have the question when you can't figure out to turn your radio down?
No, you don't.
The answer is Billy Cleary.
All right, goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, it was, what kind of flour do you use to roll Rosie O'Donnell in?
Hey, you know, I'll take that over the idiots trying to read us the question.
Right, you know what, I'll just wait until someone calls with the question.
But I'll tell you, from what that guy said, the second one who almost knew what he was doing, the answer is going to be chrysanthemum, because of those are the only plant that grows out of a bulb. Because a rose grows from a spray or like from a shoot.
See, but listen to this.
Yeah.
This is the guy completely blew it by not using Rob as his lifeline.
And as it turns out, the guy ended up going to 50-50, and then he just took a guess,
and he got it,
and he guessed correctly.
Okay, so it didn't cost him the game, but Rob would have been,
Let's see if someone has the actual question. Hello?
Hello.
Don and Mike, do you have the question?
Yeah.
What is it?
The question is, what flower comes from these three types of bulbs? It is ponton.
God, what is wrong with people?
Forget it. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
We are, I'd like to just say this to everyone. We are ripe for invasion.
Hello.
We're going to be invaded within the next year.
Hello.
Yeah, did you get the question yet?
No.
Okay, it was what variety of flower comes in the following types? Spoon, pompons, or spider?
Now, this guy is the closest to having the actual question. All right, Rob, step up now. This guy's very close to having the actual question the way they wrote it.
Read it again, please, sir.
Okay, what variety of flower comes in the following types? Spoons, pompons, or spiders?
Okay.
And then the choices were chrysanthemums, geraniums, roses, or pawnees.
Peonies.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, this guy had, that is the essence of the question. We thank you. And those were the four answers. Rob, what would your answer have been?
It probably would have been chrysanthemum, although geranium is a good thought. I don't think a geranium grows from a bulb. I think it grows from a seed. I know a peony grows from a seed, and I know a rose grows from a shoot. So I'm going to go with A, chrysanthemum. That's my final answer.
And that was the right answer. A was the right answer.
Was chrysanthemum
cool.
the right answer?
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Braxton. Maybe next time you call me, no?
Yeah.
Right. Hey, good for you. I would have no idea, no?
Oh,
no.
You knew that seed
thing and what they grow from. Because you know your way around a garden, right? Because your family's been into that.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I thought he might have figured it out. Okay, thanks, Rob.
Cool.
I think that's terrific, Rob.
I'd like to say if anyone else out there gets on, I'm still open to be a lifeline.
Absolutely. Yeah. You'd be an excellent lifeline. And maybe the guy will take $125,000 and he'll go out and he'll go to a barber shop and he'll get someone to fix whatever that thing is he's growing on his face.
I didn't see the guy.
He didn't have a beard, but he didn't have a goatee. He had a goatee.
Oh, is that the guy that went walking off with his girlfriend?
Yeah. He had a goatee that had like...
I did see him.
That went up like it, spiky type of... almost looked like a redneck sideburns.
He won $250,000, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much he won.
I think he won $250,000.
I got mad. I turned it off after his phone-a-friend just absolutely peeped out on him.
You know, he did cost himself more money because if he went on that to go on with Royal Bay Speewack.
Right, correct. Well, let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah,
where we are, Poindexter.
Mm-hmm.
And then Survivor.
You know, I'm going hot and cold on this show, man. Last night I thought Survivor sucked until the last 10 minutes, because I do enjoy the voting out, but all the challenges and stand when that Tina totally sold out Mad Dog and voted her off.
Yeah, I did. Tina totally screwed her. It was horrible. I think they ripped them off on the initial challenge, too, with the who can hold the most water when they put, you know, a bamboo rod on the guy's back that wasn't strong enough to support the water. That just blew the whole thing. I mean, you get these people all psyched to do a competition,
right,
to do one of these challenges, and then you've got, you know, you haven't thought it through enough to have a strong enough bar to hold the 400 pounds of water.
I think that has more to do with how the opposing team stacked the water on the bar, and I think because they were able to figure out a way to make the water break the bar, he should have lost because the opposing team put the water on.
Well, it was a rip-off. They break. They should have just let him start over again, don't you think?
I think they should have started the whole thing again. I really think that would have been the best way to do it. You know, I mean, because obviously what broke was not a result of it. It's not like he fell. It's not like he made it break. I mean, he was holding that water up, and the stick broke. He had nothing to do with it.
Well, the water was put on the stick, though, by the opposing team, as you recall. So, if it was put on in such a way that could cause the stick to break, that was the other team that made it break. So it could have been a strategy point.
Rob, I think get out of here.
Okay, you've already proved you're smart.
That's the end of the airtime. All I know is that I felt like after that incredible effort when they, you know, they went to the shot of the guy's leg shaking because of the, I mean, it was such an incredible, I mean, 400 pounds. Anybody that's ever lifted any kind of weight knows what that is. And the guy's leg is shaking like this. And then they just say, okay, we're gonna, you know, that guy Jeff Probst, who I am beginning to reinvigorate myself towards hating him, and I'm surprised that no one has really like taken a shot at him.
Yeah,
because he's
so smarmy.
You know, I really am. I must confess, I feel like I'm late to the party on this because I remember you said the exact same thing with the first Survivor. You developed a hatred for Probst.
You know what?
Right, from the very beginning.
It is,
and now I'm right there with you.
It is the Trebek factor, the fact.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's like Alex Trebek, except he's wearing Banana Republic shorts and a khaki shirt, that Alex Trebek has that superior way about him because he has all the answers.
Right.
Jeff Probst has that smarmy smile where it's like, hey, we've got a real tough challenge for you this time.
And I think it's tough enough when you get voted off. Right. I don't think Jeff Probst has to be as big a dick as he is. And I think he could be just a little bit more human to the person that's getting voted off, you know. I like Mad Dog, so I was just bummed that she left. And she's the only one when he asked, you know, do you trust everybody? You know, how do you feel?
Yeah, he said the other one, he said, the bitch who voted off is my conjoined twin.
Yeah, I mean, and then she screws her. I mean, what? Oh, God, he got a lot of rotten people left in that.
Yeah, the last 10 minutes of Survivor are really, really worth it.
They are. They always are. And it's just, you knew, I kind of knew that Mad Dog was going to get voted off.
I thought it was going to be the weakling guy.
I didn't because, I mean, Mad Dog really totally lost that challenge for him.
Yeah.
I mean, she fell again and again. It's not like she fell one time.
But you know, but the old guy on the other team,
Roger, he would have been voted off too.
He fell down as many times.
Roger, you know, Roger's the next to go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Roger was, I really thought, you know, at the end when they're celebrating because they actually, how they managed to win that. Well, they won because of Mad Dog.
They heart attack time.
Oh, did you hear him when they were all celebrating? He's like,
I can't breathe.
Kentucky Joe.
And he's a nice guy. I love I do like the relationship that he has with the hottie woman.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, she does seem to like him.
She likes him, yeah.
You know, I wish
the father-daughter thing.
I wish they'd get rid of, which one is the one who's giving massages all the time?
That's Jenny.
Yeah,
that's the bitch.
Jerry
the bitch.
Yeah. Don't like her.
She's the one that's like trying to schmooze, you know, the big lummox.
Yeah, she's
troubled. The big strong guy, the strongest guy in the tribe.
Oh, what's his name? Colin or something like that? Is that the guy's name? What's his name?
Colby.
But, you know, they interviewed him, and he ain't fooled by her.
Right. Also, I think the chef is soon to go, since pretty much they were all selling him out, saying, now that the chef has showed us how to cook fish,
he's an idiot.
He's gone.
I think the chef is Richard Hatch.
you think he's a gay?
I just think he's the Richard Hatch. I think he is very manipulative, and I think that one of the reasons, you know, didn't we say when Richard Hatch was involved early on, we were saying Richard Hatch is gone. He's not going to last. And everybody hated Richard Hatch, like, from the very beginning,
right.
Much like the chef. He was very active. He was very into that and very into the alliances. And the chef is behaving almost exactly the same way.
Hold on.
It's fine.
Hotline is ringing.
Light is going off in the studio.
Hello.
Hi. Don, this is your mother-in-law.
Well, hello, Big Frida.
Hi. I want to tell you, Rob is wrong.
Rob is...
Chrysanthemums grow from a root, and it wasn't which grows from a bulb. The question was, what flower comes in these varieties? Spotter, I don't
Spoon.
Know. But, but so it was a variety of flower. Which flower has those different varieties? And
oh, you've crushed him now,
but you've hurt him, Big Frida.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to hurt him, but I know I've dug up many chrysanthemums. It's a root. I mean, it's just you just separate the roots. It's not a bulb.
So what was the answer, though?
The answer was chrysanthemum.
Well, Rob had the right answer, though.
He had the right answer for the wrong reason, so.
Ah, okay.
He doesn't know his flowers.
Okay.
I don't mean to hurt your feelings.
Well,
he's really a smart guy.
So technically what Big Frida is saying is that Rob got the answer, but he got it out of dumb luck.
Right, well.
Thinking that a chrysanthemum had a bulb, and it doesn't.
But somehow Rob arrived at that.
The guy would have gotten the right answer, though, Big Frida.
Not if he really had really heard the question, because I think if he heard the question, bulbs weren't mentioned.
All right.
So he couldn't have worked it that way.
All right. Okay, thanks.
Your mother-in-law knows her way around.
I'm a listener, and I just wanted to know.
Okay.
That's good, though. That's good
job.
That's worthwhile picking up the phone and calling. I'm glad you did.
How'd you,
okay, honey. All right.
How'd you get this number?
somebody else by the same name gave it to me. he said, if you have something to say, you say it yourself. I called her and asked her to call you.
You just called her now. Sure. I got you. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
I'll see you soon.
Hi, Big Frida. You made the right decision.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'll see you later.
Okay,
right, again. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
In my own defense, I may have gotten it anyway.
You got it.
Yeah.
I mean, you noodled it through. I mean, I think getting that answer right, even though you arrived at it a different way, you might have gotten it. I don't blame you as much as the way the guy formed the question. What Big Frida was saying was that wasn't the right question.
Mm-hmm. I think I would have got it anyway because it looks different than the other flowers that they mentioned.
Yeah. Jeopardy and all those games. You just try to take what knowledge you have, bring it to the table. You wouldn't have said, I don't know, I have no idea.
This is true.
Which the other guy did, right.
Exactly.
Right.
Correct.
Yes, I do.
Please don't give your mom the number.
That's my standard answer with my mom. She calls and she'll say, tell so-and-so such and such. No, here, you do it.
All right,
that's all I did.
It's just a dangerous precedent to set that your mother has the hotline number.
Oh, whenever there's a question about chrysanthemums, you're in danger of getting a call from my mom.
No, listen,
only worry about it when you start that weekly gardening highlight, okay?
All right, honey, you can understand it's a slight invasion of privacy to have my mother-in-law know the secret phone number right to the studio.
The next time you have somebody pulling something out of their butt to tell you how you got it wrong.
All right, sweetie.
I think you're safe, Michael Bill. All right.
Love you.
Love you.
Yes, goodbye. Bye-bye.
So the next time chrysanthemums come up on the show, that's when you just monitor that hotline.
My mother-in-law will be calling.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I want to try Scoop Buzz.
Okay, go ahead.
Orenthal, arrested today in Florida for road rage.
Turned himself in. It was that incident back in December that we told you about, yes.
I'm too weak.
You were very close.
All right, sorry, you don't get the $1.06.
Sorry.
Damn, how can I afford? Thanks anyway.
News tip of the week.
He was excited.
I'm sure Buzz, you had that for your news tip,
right?
Writing.
It's over here.
Yeah, but it's an old story, basically, is what you're saying. I mean,
happened
that was the road rage. Yeah, you reported that one.
Turned himself in today, was charged with assault and burglary as well.
OJ.
Yeah.
Oh, OJ.
All right. Fantastic.
Hello, Don and Mike. We're good. We'll get a nice OJ rap going during the news today.
Yeah. Very good.
OJ.
OJ.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Good
afternoon, radio guys.
Hi there.
I was watching on WJZ in Baltimore, the afternoon news today with Marty Bass, and they were interviewing Mad Dog, and she was huffing on Marlboro 100s during the interview. smoking the whole time and talking about, I don't remember the name, the girl that backstabbed her at the end.
Tina.
Yeah, she was saying if she had any bad feelings about anybody there, it would be her.
Sure.
All right.
But I wanted to call and let you know. And
we're trying to get her on the show.
Send my best to young Stevie Tanner.
I didn't get that.
I think he's talking about the fake ID.
Oh, I got Tanner.
Oh, yes.
Okay, all right, I got it.
We're still trying to get her on the show, right, Mad Dog?
Yes, the only reason that, as it turns out, she didn't come on this week was because she was being voted off this week, and she was not allowed to do any interviews this week, and she couldn't tell us that the reason she couldn't come on the show this week was that she was being booted off this week.
So she did the TV today, and she did Letterman last night, right?
And
so
she's coming in next week.
They have to be exclusive.
We'll sit her down, and we'll get a good look at her next week. Politically incorrect.
Ooh.
In Washington, D.C., last night, the end of the show. I haven't heard it. Rob tells me it's audible that some of our Billy Clearys were in the audience.
Very good.
Screaming out our names at the end of Politically Incorrect. Let's go right to the tape.
We have Jay Thomas, Catherine Cryer, and Terry McAuliffe, the new head of the Democratic Party. All right, good sir. And Bob Dornan.
Bob Dornan?
They edited his little aside about not on my show, if he really said that.
Right. Well, let's hear that one more time. I guess that counts.
Yeah, it does.
Sure. As a shout-out on TV.
Tomorrow, we have Jay Thomas, Catherine Cryer, and Terry McAuliffe, the new head of the Democratic Party. All right, good sir. And Bob Dornan.
Yeah. Bob Dornan? Okay, hearing it a second time, it definitely goes, Don and Mike! Don and Mike!
He took it well.
And it sounds like they may have made an edit on Bill Maher.
They did.
Right afterwards. Let's listen to one more time.
All right, tomorrow. We have Jay Thomas, Catherine Cryer, and Terry McAuliffe, the new head of the Democratic Party. All right, good sir. And Bob Dornan.
Yeah, right there. And. All right, good sir. And.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen. Thank you to those guys. We appreciate
very
it.
Very good. Very nice.
Mm-hmm. I've got the Larry King tapes to play. You know, let's do a break. Today's show is too jammed up. If we don't stop now, it'll be like yesterday. It'll be another 5-hour marathon. clear the lines out. Secret song number 6. That's what we're playing with right now. $500 on the line. You identify the song by title and artist. We'll give you $500.
Right.
Phone number 877-365-3636.
Number 1, Arbitron Radio. The John and Mike Show.
Way down upon the Herbert River, far, far away. Well, I've got sand in every nook and cranny. Pants are wet all day. Yeah. Oh, for you.
The password is the John and Mike Show.
Listen now. Before we get to the contest, we got to talk about our Valentine's Day show next week.
Yes, we need ladies.
Yes, we do. I don't know how many more ladies have called. But if you'd like a chance to win $1,000, a 1 in 10 chance.
Oh, I'm into the song. Aerosmith.
Their brand new song called Jaded.
So what they did to it right now.
They did it at the Super Bowl.
Is that the one they did at the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Kind of blinded by that CF they have with all those different artists up on stage.
Yeah. Seriously, is Steven Tyler, isn't he 60 now? Listen to his voice. He sounds like he did in 1975.
Amazing.
They are incredible. I got a couple of friends who tell me Aerosmith sold out. It was so funny. When a band sells out, when they become popular, that's when they sell out.
You know, I don't care. If you're plus 52 and you're still making music, you know, to me, I don't care what you've done. Do whatever you do to survive.
That's good tunage right there, the new Aerosmith. Listen, next Wednesday for Valentine's Day, we have a special show, the Blind Date Show. 10 naked girls.
Ooh.
3 hotties, 3 average-looking girls. The 3 girls close to the wall, and 1 Broomhilda.
There we go.
They're all going to be naked. And we're going to have a very hot, very eligible, blindfolded guy in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to ask each woman 3 questions when she comes in naked. He will not be able to see the women.
Right.
You listening, you will be able to know exactly what the women look like.
Good.
The guy will then blindfolded pick the girl he likes the best. She wins $1,000, and they immediately get in a limo and go right downtown to D.C. to the world-famous Palm Restaurant for a wonderful Valentine's Day evening dinner,
wow,
drinks, everything on the house.
Very exciting.
Nice. Now, the most important part in all this is that we can't talk to the ladies on the air first, so that any prospective bachelor,
right,
wouldn't hear a girl's voice and know that she's one of the hotties or one of the mediums or one of the close to the walls, or, God forbid, know that she's the Broomhilda.
Yeah, the woman's voice will be heard that day. The first time you will hear the woman's voice will be when the guy begins to interview her. Right?
So what you have to do is call Charles Broyhill or call Lisa on the business line at area code 703-691-1900. And if they're busy, just please leave a message for Charlie Broyhill on his voicemail, and he'll get back to you. And as soon as we have the 10 women set up for the contest, I think on Monday, by Monday we'll have the 10 women,
good,
we'll start soliciting for the perfect man.
Wonderful.
To be blindfolded here in the studio. So I wanted to make sure that we threw that one out there. Also, I was in on a conference call today, and a lot of people in the Greenville, South Carolina area are concerned about us coming back down there.
Sure.
Yep. Westwood One, the world's dumbest network, wants us to sign on some AM station.
Of course.
Of course. And here's the way it was explained to me. I heard the conference call. Well, it's a 50,000-watt AM station, but they drop power at night.
There you go. Yeah, basically in a daytime.
And go directional. So, you know, it's very much, I'm sure, like a station here in D.C., WTEM, mm-hmm, which bills itself as a 50,000-watt station. Yeah, it's 50,000 watts going straight up in the air. You can't pick it up unless you're driving around the transmitter.
We want FM. That's our number one priority. Yes.
And there are a couple of FM stations,
good,
that want the show.
I hope so.
So that's the input that I gave to Westwood One today, was, you know, screw this thing with getting us on a 50,000-watt AM station.
It would seem to me a simple decision for a general manager. You want a number one afternoon show.
Well, there are a couple of FM stations that do want it.
Good.
The problem, as always,
yeah,
is Westwood One.
So dumb.
Westwood
so professionally dumb. So loaded with dummies.
Westwood One. And I think what they were doing was, at least when I finally said, just hang up the phone, I don't want to hear this anymore, because I was listening to the conference call, they were saying, well, we're going to have the people from Sacramento call these people, because the Sacramento station is a 50,000-watt AM, and it's all sports talk, and you guys are number one on that. And at that point, I just said, hang up the phone on this guy.
Yeah, really ill-equipped.
Just hang up the phone. Take the FM station.
Right, right.
Just take it. Even if it's a Bob Vila station, even if it's a fixer-upper, a this old house radio station.
Right.
We'll absolutely take it.
Fantastic.
So we should be back in Greenville, I hope, next week.
Yay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon.
Hi, who's this, please?
This is Fred, caller 100.
Yes, that's you, Fred. Hi, where are you calling from?
Rochester.
Beautiful. WHTK, that's our affiliate there. And you have won a dozen long-stemmed roses, courtesy of Sprint PCS. And, you know, it's a good thing you're winning these, because there's a shop that I pass every day on my way to work,
mm-hmm,
and 350 days out of the year, they got a sign outside that says, one dozen roses, $12.
Right.
Well, in the last week, every day I drive by, and now it's up to $39.95 for a dozen roses.
Tis the season.
Yeah. What a ripoff.
You'll be able to really get a deal on roses right after Valentine's Day.
Well, you've got your free roses. Order flowers on the Sprint PCS Wireless Web. You can order just about anything from Sprint PCS Wireless Web. Now, are you ready to go for the money?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we got $500. Secret song number 6. It was a top 10 record from the 1970s. Okay, that's all the clueage you're going to get. We'll play you the song, give you 15 seconds to think about it. Even if you don't really know, please at least give us a guess with artist and title, and don't answer until Mike sings like Lil Bow Wow. Okay. You're killing me with this. We wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
Well, you know, I like to think it's because I mentioned yesterday I'm kind of into Little Bow Wow.
I'm getting a lot of help on this. I want to thank everybody that's really propping me up on this bit.
Money we're giving away is courtesy of Main Street Title.
All I want to do is have you bounce with me, bounce with me.
I gotta play you the original. Hold on, where's my Little Bow Wow? No, hold on. Well, let's get the guest.
We might have just been listening to it in the other room.
For the,
you know, I want to thank everybody that's helping me with this.
For $500, you got an artist and title?
Just a guess.
Okay.
Steppenwolf, Magic Carpet Ride.
Excellent guess. That was from the 60s, though.
Good guess.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Thank you, and don't forget that every guest
it's
is...
It's a clue for you.
Clue for you. Okay, you got... Oh, here's my Little Bow Wow.
Yeah, this is incredible, this guy. I mean, really, I think this is a tremendous rapper here.
Because
I was trying to figure it out, and I couldn't. And to me, that's good.
That's how you can tell.
What are you queuing right up to the party?
Hey, Don?
Yeah?
Seriously, though, I do like the Little Bow Wow.
Can we hear your rendition again, Mike?
All I want to do is have you bounce with me, bounce with me.
Oh, no, he's dancing. You're funny.
Listen to this. This is a good rapper.
Oh, please.
Amazing. This is better than, like, anybody I've heard because of the... He's so good and fast.
You know what he's not as good as?
What?
Here's the Liddy pronunciation of the day.
Oh.
Coming in today and listen to the G. Gordon Liddy Show.
Controversial rapper. Om-an-om.
Oh, no.
Being protested in London. Controversial rapper. Om-an-om.
Om-an-om.
Now, for all I know... He's doing that on purpose.
Sure, I think he plays it up a little bit. It's what makes G. Gordon Liddy, G. Gordon Liddy.
And he had a pronunciation today. The word is devil. However, it was Davil.
Davil. You know what's great? Is he'd come in here and be able to explain it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we said, why do you do that? He'd give you 20 sentences explaining why he pronounces it that way. I love that.
Om-an-om.
Om-an-om. Hmm.
His music, it was made by the Davil.
Right.
Om-an-om.
I'm going to have to do a little hymn somewhere down the road.
Okay, listen. In today's newspaper, we are all very upset by this news. I want you to hear this. This is something they buried in USA Today.
Yeah, a little throwaway news item that has monumental significance, and it's a trend, and it better not take hold.
I want to tell you, first off, USA Today, most days, with the exception of Rudy Marsky's column, this is a worthless newspaper that is only read by people in airports and by disc jockeys.
Right.
It is supremely worthless on Friday.
Yeah, about a year ago, they decided to take Fridays off. They don't put out a paper on Friday. They put out crap.
And in the purple section, which is normally where we find any material, which is like the life section, what they do on Thursday is they put a little... destination and diversion section.
It's just absolutely worthless.
It's just a way to fill three or four pages of the paper with, like, travel ads, okay?
Right.
But listen to this now. And maybe you understand why we are upset by this.
This is huge, and I think... And I'd like to point out to all the men in the audience to listen carefully right now.
Is the downsizing of bathroom amenities a hotel trend in the making?
Oh.
Eagle-eyed travelers notice that bottles... of complimentary Neutrogena moisturizer have vanished from Hilton hotel rooms.
Oh, my God.
Now, it's not because people are stealing them. Listen to the story. We reviewed guest use of amenities, and unfortunately, the lotion, people don't use it.
It had to be a woman.
They pretty much leave it there, says, yeah, you're right, Hilton spokeswoman Jean Datz.
Jean. Wrong.
Supply hasn't dried up. It's always available on request.
No, come on. We don't want to ask for it.
Like, what are you going to do? You're going to call downstairs and say, hi, listen, this is room 502. First, would you please take the adult block off the Spectravision?
Uh-huh.
And second, could you please send up some Neutrogena moisturizing lotion?
And really, don't call it moisturizer. Really, print it right on there so there's no confusion.
Hand lotion.
It's hand lotion, and don't take this out. Let me tell you something. If you don't think people are using it, you're wrong. They're using it, and then they're putting it back.
We are
calling?
And don't go, like you don't know, Buzz. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
We are going to call Hilton Hotels now.
This is an abomination.
And tell them that we are upset by this. We will speak out.
We'll represent all the people in there that would like to have hand lotion in their hotel rooms.
All Washington Hilton operators are busy. Please stay on the line.
Boys, I don't have time.
They're probably fielding the complaints from people that want hand lotion back. And it's not moisturizer. It's hand lotion.
Tan cream.
Right.
It's cream. It's cream when you can't get any puzzy.
Thank you for calling Hilton Bar Montana, Chef Reggie. So where am I directing call?
Yes, hi. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the air right now. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to talk to someone. We have a complaint that you are taking hand lotion out of the rooms in the Hilton Hotel.
Yeah, you call it moisturizer also.
We call it hand lotion.
We think it's essential that you keep that in the hotel rooms.
I think we speak for a lot of men who travel.
You might not have the whole perspective on this issue, and we want to make sure that the moisturizer, wink, wink, gets back into the hotel room.
Can we speak to a manager?
Okay, one moment.
Thank you, honey.
Because I think that, I know that these hotels can do their own thing. A lot of these managers can, make their hotel not follow company policy if they want to, add things in there.
Oh, sure.
And it's Jeannie Batson.
Can I help you?
Yeah, hi. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the air right now. We're calling the Hilton Hotel. We love Hilton Hotels.
Okay.
We had just a slight question.
Okay.
We're reading in the newspaper today that Hilton will no longer supply hand cream, hand lotion,
moisturizer,
in the rooms.
And we think that it's really important that you revisit that policy.
This is the Don and Mike show.
Show, and a lot of men aren't going to speak up for this, and we think that it's essential.
But I want to tell you, whenever... Don and Mike.
This is the Don and Mike show.
You're on the air.
You're on the air right now.
Whenever we stay at a Hilton Hotel, one of the things we love is knowing that in our bathroom, we're going to see conditioner, shampoo,
right,
hand lotion.
Am I correct in saying if you could lose anything, you could certainly lose the conditioner?
Right.
There's really no need to have hair conditioner.
I don't know what you're reading. We're not using all lotions in our bathroom.
Okay, well, I'm going to read you the story.
This is USA Today. This is today's paper.
Neutrogena moisturizer has vanished from Hilton's. We reviewed guest use of amenities, and unfortunately, the lotion, people don't use it, says Hilton spokeswoman Jeannie Datz.
Do you know Ms. Datz?
No, I don't.
So Hilton Hotel now requires that if a gentleman wants some hand cream, he has to call downstairs and ask for it. Well, I ask you, ma'am, how embarrassing is that?
No man wants to do that, just like no man wants to go into the gift shop and ask for it.
You have to call the corporate office for that.
Oh, would you have that number?
I can transfer you to the operator, and they can give you that number. Hold on.
Okay. Well, she was no help. She was no help.
Why? She was a woman.
That's right.
Only a man is going to understand our perspective on this.
I'll tell you something. Hilton should appreciate this to such an extent that he'd give us free hotel rooms.
I'm on town separating, so I'm going to direct your call.
We'd like the corporate office, please.
One moment.
Maybe we could speak with Ms. Datz.
Hold on. Hey, Robbie, pick up the hotline and get the corporate office, please, as soon as...
This should go right to the top. I mean, this is foolish that they're doing this. They're about to make really one of the major mistakes that this hotel chain has ever made.
Let me try another Hilton.
Yeah, it's a fine, fine hotel chain. Been around for a number of years.
One of the best.
Right, Green Bay.
Don't take Green Bay. They more than any other.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Long, cold winter nights.
Need that lotion.
Gotta have that lotion, man.
Thank you for calling the Hilton Garden in Green Bay. This is Julie. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi, Julie. This is the Don and Mike radio show, and we're on the air right now. I think our station in Green Bay is WNFL.
Uh-huh.
And we're calling because... First off, let me tell you, we love Hilton Hotels. They're great hotels.
Big fans of Hilton.
However, we're reading a story in the newspaper that Hilton is no longer going to supply hand lotion in the rooms.
That's not true. We're going to definitely supply hand lotion.
Well, there was a story there saying that Hilton Hotels will no longer be providing the rooms with the little bottles of moisturizer.
It's in USA Today.
Yeah, Jeannie Datz, the Hilton corporate spokesperson, says that... they haven't been used, and we just wanted to call and tell you they're used all the time. You might just not know it.
Yes, I know that.
It's extremely important.
And I know that you probably think that, like, girls use it, ladies use it, but I think you'd be surprised how many male customers in your hotel use it.
And we really want, we speak to you, we have a lot of men that listen to this show, and we feel like sometimes we have to be their spokespersons. So it's really essential.
Well,
you don't
remember. If you have a pool, then you have to have lotion.
What was that?
If you have a pool, you have to have a lotion, right?
Oh, do you have a pool there?
Yes, I definitely do.
Well, and there's many other reasons that it's important to have the lotion in the room.
Yeah, if you don't have a pool, I mean, you still should have the lotion.
Let me ask you a couple of other questions about amenities that your hotel offers. Do you have a great dining facility?
Yes, we do. It's wonderful.
Do you offer an early morning buffet?
Yes, anything you can pretty much imagine for breakfast.
Do you offer adult movies in the room?
Of course.
Okay, well, see, now maybe you understand where we're coming from.
And I know you probably are familiar with the hotel policy, but I think you should revisit this idea of every single hotel with a pool has to have the lotion. I think every single room with the adult movie should have
the lotion. It's very important. Listen, we both travel a lot.
Maybe they should bring their own lotion if they want to rent adult movies.
That's not serving your business traveler.
First off, you're ripping us off because you're paying $8.99 and we only watch 1 minute of the movie. We only watch the first minute of the movie.
It's just a tiny little bottle of lotion.
Right.
And be honest with you, I mean, hardly any of it's used. Well, a sense on the stay.
A small bit. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
But for the record, in Green Bay, you still are supplying hand cream.
Yes, we definitely supply hand lotion.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There you go. There it is. Hand lotion. And put that on the, don't put moisturizer.
Hand lotion.
Go. Back. Go.
All right. Let's call the corporate office.
Very good. You know, I do love the shows where I think we can do some good, and I think we're doing some good here. But so far, the Hiltons we've checked with all are still carrying the lotion. Perhaps the memo hasn't gotten through to all the chains.
It's sort of not.
Good afternoon, Davidson.
It's in the newspaper. Hi, is this the Hilton corporate office?
No, it isn't. This is Davidson Hotel Company.
Is Davidson associated with Hilton?
We have franchises with them.
Beautiful. Hi, listen, let me tell you what's going on. My name is Don, and this is my friend Mike. We're doing a radio show right now, a national radio show.
How do you do?
And we're looking for someone. We're on the air. We're looking for someone from the corporate office with Hilton Hotels.
We read a very disturbing story in the newspaper today about Hilton Hotels no longer carrying moisturizer in their rooms.
And we're concerned about that. I think we speak for a large amount of the businessmen.
We'd like to get those little bottles back into the Hiltons.
And don't get me wrong, we love Hiltons. We love everything about them.
Oh, absolutely fantastic.
Just a joke or what?
No. You have no idea how serious we are about this.
What I like best about a Hilton Hotel is, I'll tell you this, really. I don't mean to sound like Prick D's here, but they have great room service. You can't beat their meat.
There you go. Fantastic.
Every time I've ordered a steak, it's
really good tender.
Been of the highest regard.
Cooked to your satisfaction.
Great. Uh-huh. You can't beat it. You can't beat it.
So we really think it's essential that they don't travel down this horrible road.
You can't beat the meat. Uh-huh. But really, I'm reading a story here in the newspaper.
I can hear somebody laughing in the back.
That would be our assistant producer, Mr. Rob Spiewak. Rob, say hi to this nice lady.
Hey, lady.
Is it really, the story in the paper today says, is the downsizing of bathroom amenities a hotel trend in the making? Hilton is taking away the bottles of complimentary Neutrogena moisturizer. And we just wanted to voice our concern that is a very important part of any businessman's stay.
And, you know, in a company as large as Hilton, you have lots of different policies. And every now and then, as you know, some jerk will come along and screw things up.
Mm-hmm. I wish I had the Hilton phone number here, but unfortunately it's not at the reception desk. And
Sorry to that jerk.
In your hotels, do you have hand lotion in the room?
Well, as far as I know. Yeah.
Good. We applaud you.
If you don't, be sure and get it in there. And you know something? I know you don't like to promote other hotel chains, but I think that it's pretty important, I think, that all hotel chains, even motels now, you know, who would normally not put the amenities in there, start putting some hand lotion.
And how expensive is it? Even if you got cut back on the soap.
Right, exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your time.
You agree.
That's very nice.
Wonderful. I agree.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
So, so important. And I think it's important, you know, for the average business traveler who's going to pack his little toiletries bag and he's going to put the toothpaste, he's going to put his shampoo sometimes in there, but he's certainly not going to pack hand lotion.
Well, now, what happens if the wife looks in the bag?
Exactly.
She goes, why are you packing hand lotion?
What's this for? Yeah, I'm not aware that you have dry skin.
Hello? Oh, here's a guy who works at a Hilton. Hello? Chuck?
Hello? Yeah.
You work at a Hilton hotel?
Well, no, I'm a contractor, and we've done a lot of work at Hilton and up here in Dulles. And part of our contract, we actually go into these rooms, and I don't want to be too specific, but they have cases and cases of the lotion, Don, and Mike, they've got the shampoo. What is it? I guess it's two things of shampoo, lotion, and is it soap or something in the other one? I forget.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's three
of
them.
But they've got, believe me, I've been in that hotel more than I care to wish for, and they've got cases and stoppers of everything.
Well, good. They should break it out. That's a stroke of good luck for us. Hello, Don, in my show.
Don.
Come on. I'm not kidding. Come on.
Come on. Come on, man. 1 minute. You're only watching 1 minute of this movie that you pay $8.95 for.
Right.
But are you getting time before you even turn on the TV or something?
You know what I love best? Really?
What?
When we travel with a show?
Right.
What I love best is where you go to a hotel where you can turn it on and you can watch 2 minutes free and then it cuts off.
Right, right.
Because then I can get the job done and it doesn't cost me anything.
Right.
There are other hotels now that offer the one fee, the exorbitant fee that you would spend for one movie, but you get to watch all of the adult titles until noon the next day.
Right.
I know you were with your son, so you wouldn't have known this, but the hotel we recently stayed in with all of its problems did offer that feature.
I see.
Till noon the following day.
I didn't know that.
It's a goodbye.
1 minute.
Say hallelujah.
Now, 1 minute. Listen, what are you talking about? I'm in a race with...
1 minute, man.
I'm in a race with the devil. I there's nothing...
1 minute, man. Don Geronimo.
What? Like what?
The Minute Man.
Who watches those movies? Listen, I'm sitting down. I've got myself situated in a nice chair. The chicks start taking their clothes off. What's to stop me?
Well, I think this particular individual would probably need some instructions on how to do that properly.
This is correct.
If you could not,
they don't show the penetration.
If you could not accomplish that in 1 minute, I'd say you'd have a problem.
Yeah,
Minutemen.
Yeah, Minutemen. I think most guys are Minutemen.
I'm proud of that.
I mean, you know something? If you're lasting a long time doing that particular thing, sir, I believe you have to look in the mirror because you got the problem.
Your wife is also proud that it takes you 1 minute. Because if she had to sit in there longer than 1 minute, ooh.
This is, I think we're talking like a 21-year-old,
yeah,
too.
Please, listen. Yeah, please. Yeah.
There you go. I knew we'd find the key.
Goodbye, douchebaggio. Hello, Don Muncho.
Hello, Donnie. Hello, Mike.
Hi.
It's Richard calling from New York.
Oh, is this Richard, our driver?
Yes, it is. How are you, boys?
Hey, Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Buzz. Hi, Rob. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Richard.
Just a quick question, Don.
Yeah.
I've got a little bone to pick.
All right, go.
The beautiful, talented Bonnie Bernstein.
Yeah, she's coming to Reno with us in 2 weeks.
Absolutely. She's beautiful. She's talented. She's wholesome. What does she want to hook her up with the human fly, Roy Hill?
Well, it's an experiment, Richard. Richard, it's an experiment.
Well, I mean, come on, we've all seen the poor man, you know, drink iced tea and eat. I mean, you know, she's a beautiful, wholesome girl.
Well, we know he doesn't have a chance with her, Richard. We know that.
But we're just going to enjoy spending time trying to push the two of them into social situations together.
Oh, because I just thought that, you know, you were my pal. But, you know what, you're right, though. I mean, you know, what would you do with a mook like me?
Richard loves Bonnie. Richard, is your marriage completely over now? Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Now I understand. It's Rebound Richard, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Goodbye, Richard.
Jesus. A broken heart.
See, when we first met the guy a year ago, he was like, hey, I got 8 kids. I'm happily married.
Then we always were curious why he was always out with us all night.
Well, now we know.
Now we know.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, there's one other convenience they could provide.
What's that?
Well, you know how they have all the Kleenexes? They're in the bathroom.
Yeah, I know where you're going. You put some right on the nightstand.
That's what they need to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
you know, I think that's all subjective. You know, frankly,
yeah.
If you have plenty of towels,
unless you use the other pillowcase.
And many people do.
Well, everything's laundered.
Or if you use the bedspread.
Or the drapes.
Or if you just leave it where it lay.
But don't use the city guide. You know what I mean? That little thing.
Oh, the hardback book?
Yeah, the hardback book.
I was going to say, those always aren't stucco ceiling.
Oh, God. Never take a black light in there.
I know there's been occasion where I've just left it, especially in a hotel with bad shag carpeting.
Oh, no.
I just left it where it lies.
Oh, my God.
Just left my leavings there.
So you aim and point.
No, it's just, it's like the Fountain of Youth.
Wow.
I mean, it's just, you know.
Oh, incredible.
Right.
Incredible. I'm beginning to think you ought to be in films.
It's like that Budweiser commercial where the fat guy shakes up the beer.
That's the way it is every time.
Exactly.
With you. That's truly a miracle.
It's like in the summer in the Bronx when the cops open up the fire hydrant.
Fire hydrant is amazing.
That's what it is.
Amazing but true.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Don and Mike, you guys might want to bring your own lotion because the guy that was in the room before you may be refilling the bottles with his own lotion.
Oh,
God. Okay. No, all right.
Those are tiny bottles. All too small.
Knock it off. We could put it in a glass and then you could pour it in there.
Now, though. Now you've given them all the manual.
Yes, I have. Time out. We got a break. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
I guess I'm old-fashioned, but I don't like to talk on the Senate floor about the kind of stuff that has been funded, the taxpayers' money used for it. Like the woman who smeared herself with chocolate.
Jen Locker.
And urinated on the stage and invited people to come up and, how to put it delicately, I guess there's no way.
Jen Locker.
To conduct a gynecological examination.
That's who it was.
They are importing more comedy hits from Japan in order to prolong your listening pleasure. It is the radio program of Don Geronimo and Mike Comera.
That's who Jesse Helms is talking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a major star in the studio.
Yeah.
June Lockhart, major television star, now making her way in there. She's getting something out of a handbag or something. Like. I can't see what she's doing over there.
She bends it over, though, June.
But we have to welcome June Lockhart to the Don and Mike Show. Right now, we're waiting. She's doing something, and
Take
I don't know what she's
time,
doing.
Time, June.
What are you doing over
Take
there?
Your time.
All right, here's it's your glasses. Oh, all right. Okay.
There's glasses. Hi.
Ladies and gentlemen, hi June.
Jude Lockhart.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
Jude How Lockhart. Are you?
Love Jude Lockhart.
Welcome back to the show. Do you remember the last time you were on our show out in Los Angeles?
No,
you don't have to. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
You don't remember?
Downtown?
Were we down in the convention center? I think we were downtown in,
Or maybe in Century City.
I'm not
Century
sure.
City. We were down in some,
Were you
doing
broadcasting from a radio talk show host affair or NAB?
Yes, NAB, yeah. That's right, so, the NAB.
I
that's what we were doing.
Much better than you, apparently.
That's how little it meant to you, I guess, Jude.
Don't you remember me?
I'm really in love with you.
Are you?
Don't you remember me?
Refresh my memory.
Okay, after the broadcast, you were hanging around. There's a bunch of people there. We had a drink. I mean, no, it wasn't just you and I. There were other people there.
In the facility, at the venue?
Yeah, at the venue.
No.
Oh, no.
I'm so sorry.
How quick they forget.
But were you broadcasting?
It was a special moment for my partner.
You broadcasting from, like, out in the hall somewhere there?
I don't even remember where we were.
Yeah, we were out in the hallway.
Yeah, I do remember where we were.
Out in the hallway.
I know.
So at the top of the escalator.
It was you, it's two monumental guests that we had, I believe, that same day. You and then the Grease Man. It was a very exciting day. Another disc jockey who we met for the first time out there.
She does not even remember.
That's exactly where you were, but we stayed within the... We didn't go out to a hotel or something for a drink. There was
no. I wanted to.
They had
no. It was right there.
I do remember, and they had wine and things like
yes,
that.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
We shared.
Let's give her a round of applause. June Lockhart is here
for the last 5 years. To me, has been a very wonderful memory. Apparently, Jack to you.
Right, because I knew you were at the top of the escalator, and it was a facility that was quite close to where you were broadcasting, and you were up on a little level. And over to the left of the area as you came up the escalator.
She does remember, right?
Oh, yeah.
How do you remember that with that much detail?
I don't know, but I do. I can picture it.
You know why?
Plainly.
I'll tell you why, because that night did mean something to her subconsciously.
Secretly down deep in my heart,
if
deep
that's
in
something
my memory, there you have it.
Yeah.
It must be it.
Remember, you're okay.
Thank you.
I liked you back then.
I remember June coming on the show, and I remember you. You went kind of nuts. You just you were smitten with June Locker.
He was smote.
He was. He was smote.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, smote. I like that. I'm going to use that from now on.
Smote. Very important.
He was smote with you.
I was loopy for you. I'm still loopy for you. Look at you. Look at this.
I'm so charmed.
You haven't hit the wall? Look at you. Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 75.
75?
Unbelievable.
Really?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
It's all... I work out, and I am very careful about what I eat. And but I, both parents had good skin, and I think that has a lot to do with it. Oh, and I've never smoked either, so.
And look at that. You know, I believe that smoking. I think smoking cigarettes in particular. You see, well, we have many women that call this show. There's a hello, how are you? And you see, and it does. I think smoking more than anything else does something to the skin.
It shuts down the capillaries that are in the cheeks and in the face.
That's why somebody will be like somebody who's 45 will look like they're 65 because they're
also that with sun damage, and you've got a real. Oh, looking broad.
Absolutely.
And you know what else? Look at her hands. I don't mean to embarrass you, but look at those beautiful hands. You know how, whose hands? We saw Pat Summerall's hands recently.
Oh, Pat Summerall has bad hands.
During a Redskins game. Yeah. And, you know, it looked like a burn victim because he just has old man hands.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Look at those beautiful hands.
I thank you for saying that. I really,
You do have a Band-Aid on your hand, though.
I have a little something there.
What happened there?
Oh, I just have a little something burned off.
Oh, that's important. So you take care of your skin.
Yes. Absolutely.
You take care of your skin.
This is everything, guys.
Would there be any chance you would send that to me? Whatever it is you had burned off?
No, but I could leave the Band-Aid with you.
Would like you? He'd take it. He'd smoke with you.
If you take your Band-Aid off right now, I'll smell it right now.
No, that's it. We're not going any of that
there we go.
Directions like that.
Right, well,
thank you for your many compliments.
She remembers being on this show, so she remembers that she has to go like this to us.
She has to put
her hand up and stop us.
All right, now you don't hate all the, well, of course, you're too nice to hate. The hate is a strong word. You are not bothered when you go to these conventions by the people who come up to you and say, oh, you know, you're Lassie's mom, you're lost in space, you're Petticoat Junction. That doesn't bother you?
Well, if it bothered me, I certainly wouldn't do the conventions. It is such fun to talk to the people who come to the conventions, which, by the way, is why I'm in town for the
Here we go. Here's the plug.
Go ahead. Plug away, June.
Show.
Plug away.
And that will be at Montgomery. Yes, ka-ching. It will be at Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Gaithersburg tomorrow and Sunday. Saturday 10 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4. $5 will handle both days. And there are all sorts of goodies, including me sitting there signing and giving my autograph. On top of beautiful archival pictures that I have and everything. But to answer your question, no, if it bothered me, I wouldn't do it.
Not even for the money. I mean, so, but obviously they pay you good, but you enjoy it still?
Thoroughly, yes. And the neat part about it is I always have enjoyed public speaking. And this, I kind of do a 9-hour seminar. Tomorrow it'll be about that by the time I set up and get out of there. And when somebody buys a picture, I will tell them the circumstances under which it was taken and what we were doing and why we were laughing in it and all kinds of things that are very personal to me, and I share it with
them. Good for you. That's great. Collectibles is such a huge business, and to me, it's like if you get an autograph. I always thought when I was getting autographs from people that I wanted to get autographs from, it always would seem to me if you get it from somebody and you watch them and you get a chance to interact with them.
Oh, yes.
I mean, the value, you know, I mean, take the monetary value out of anything. Just the sentimental value of having the person do it in front of you is
I know
very valuable.
Some people just sign and shove.
Mm-hmm.
And,
like Grandpa Munster did that. You remember that? Yeah, he was horrible.
No salutations.
No salutations.
Hey, Rob, we got to get that tape of Dr. Smith and play it for June.
Did you see Galaxy Quest?
Yeah, great movie.
The funniest movie. And, of course, it was a mixture of both our shows, the Star Trek and
Lost in Space,
And it was brilliant. And, of course, the whole thing about they were just signed and shoved.
Right, right, exactly. That's what Grandpa Munster actually violently reacted. Al Lewis was his name. And we did a joint appearance where we were signing stuff. And his whole thing was no salutations. He just wanted to sign his name and shove it and didn't want anybody, to get a greeting.
I want to try to find the tape of Dr. Smith.
Yeah. Dr. Smith, when he came in here, Dr. Smith would be, at the time he was on the show, which was a couple of years ago, he was
80 at least.
It was when you guys were making the Lost in Space movie.
Yeah, higher than that, right?
Oh, we were still shooting?
Yeah, and of course...
We were doing the movie.
Yeah, you guys...
So that was 96.
Okay, so you were in it, and I know that the dude who flew the ship was in it.
Mark Goddard, he was excellent in it. He played the general in
it. And, we
and
had...
Angela Cartwright.
Are you finding it here?
We're
going
to have to dump it on the air.
Yeah. He says a bad word, but I want you to hear his reaction when we said to him, how come you're not in the new Lost in Space movie?
I don't think anything on this tape could surprise me.
So, yeah, you worked with him. Dr. Smith was had a bit of a mouth on him, a little potty mouth.
Erwin called me. Yeah. That's how the tape starts off.
What's amazing is he came into the studio when he did the interview.
Excuse me, but not for the movie. Erwin didn't call him. Erwin was long since dead when they.
He was talking about Towering Inferno. Towering Inferno, one of the Erwin Allen disaster pictures.
Pardon me, I just thought we'd keep that straight for the audience.
And he's cruising along talking about Erwin Allen. And he tells this story, and we, here is this, I believe, 85-year-old man is sitting there. We didn't expect him to say anything controversial, and he's talking about Erwin Allen and how he was offered a tiny part in an Erwin Allen film, and he tells this story, and
we don't have it.
We don't have it?
You know, we got like a million tapes on this computer thing.
Right.
Oh, it's too bad. Because it's fantastic, because he said...
Erwin called me. I said, what's the part? He said, it's one day's work, and I said, F you.
Oh, yeah.
But he really didn't use the letter. He said the word.
He said the word.
Our jaws hit the floor, and then, of course, we broke up into gales of laughter, and there he was. He had was he like that on the set? Did he have a potty mouth on the set, too?
Oh, very much.
Really?
And so did you... is, the school teacher had to sort of
we found it.
Ask him, please, to be careful around the children.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got two tapes for you. Now, I'm going to have to delete these out on the air.
All right.
When Dr. Smith...
You'll hear the real version,
I have
June.
Heard the word before you.
but we can't play them on the air.
No, I understand.
Okay, which one is the one where he says, Erwin called me?
I think that's 41.
41. Okay, here's Dr. Smith.
Erwin said to call you... and to offer you a part in Simon Venture.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's very nice of you. And the part would...
but it's one day's work.
I could hardly hear it. I didn't have the pot on.
Oh, okay. All right. Put your headphones back on.
Oh, we'll do it again?
Okay. Right, I'll plug it again.
All right.
I'll pot it down this time right before he...
This is the first time I have heard Jonathan use this word.
Right before he says the F-bomb. Here we go.
Erwin said to call you and to offer you a part in Simon Venture.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's very nice of you. And the part would be...
Now I got another one for you to hear.
Okay.
And this is when he drops the S-bomb.
Okay.
Right.
And this one, I'm just going to have to be fast on the trigger because we're using up all the delay.
We're in dangerous territory here.
Why is there a rift between yourself and June Lockhart?
There is no rift.
There is no rift.
We were all lovey-dovey with each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is this going back? I can't use the S word.
You know, now that I remember it, we didn't play this because it's June Lockhart. We played it because it was a funny, but I remember he was talking about getting along with it. Did you have, was there tension between you and Dr. Smith?
Isn't that funny? Yeah. Now, as a matter of fact, I find him very endearing and have always appreciated his work and his comedy and his acting ability, and when we're together, we laugh and share funny times and jokes. And
let me play a little more of that on the air. I don't know how much of that got clipped. I'm going to turn it off before he drops the S bar.
Okay.
Okay. Why is there a rift between yourself and June Lockhart?
There is no rift.
There is no rift.
We were all lovey-dovey with each other.
Oh, is this going back?
Can you believe that?
See, I cut it right before he said the bad word.
Yeah, I remember when he said that. He said, "Do you believe that ass, baby?" But I think, now remembering the interview, I think he was doing that simply to be funny. I think that, he meant it when he said there was no rift.
He's a dear soul who will go for the laugh every time.
Well, he got it with us.
Of course.
He was a blast.
This is the way he talks when we're so not grown apart. We're all together all the time. We do conventions together. But December 19th, we had a wonderful lunch, all of us at Fox. And he held forth and talked, and then we all had pictures taken afterwards. And he's... That's his style of humor, and we all knew it. And so if you're out of the room, you probably know he's trashing you. But the next person who leaves will also get it. So, it doesn't matter.
That's great.
It's his humor, and it's very genuine and very funny.
Well, you are a very sweet woman. I would say this. Don't be disrespectful. You look very hot.
I am.
For a woman who is sexy.
Yeah, yeah. I am.
Yeah. Right. He's very hot.
Right?
And we want everybody to go see you tomorrow. In Gaithersburg. Now, I can read it or you can run. You want to go ahead and read it. Go ahead.
So it is the Gaithersburg Antique and Collectible Show, February 10th and 11th. Tomorrow and Sunday, 10 to 5, Saturday, 10 to 4, Sunday. And I will have a marvelous collection of really fine photos. And they're all in beautiful shape and lovely reproductions. And then also a marvelous book called Lost in Space Forever, which I did the editing for. And also did the foreword. And I'm very proud of this book. And if anybody would like to inquire about buying the book who cannot come tomorrow,
right.
May I please give a P.O. box number?
Okay, I'll tell you what. If on the way out you'll give me your Band-Aid, you may plug that. Sure, go ahead. I'll trust you to give me the Band-Aid. Go ahead.
All
what's
right.
your P.O. box?
I've got to see how the wound is. Okay, you can have it.
Okay.
What in June Lockhart?
What's the P.O. box?
All right, it's P.O. box 3207 Santa Monica. 90402.
We'll plug that again for you before the show's over today.
Really?
Oh, of course we will.
You're neat.
Now listen, this book here that you have, is this like your only copy? Or
are you sort of chumming around for present? Yes, you got it.
Thank you. You're the greatest.
No, it is not.
And you know, you're going to have to, can you personalize it to Don? I know
I have it right on the cover. You can put it on his coffee table there.
Would you write down, just write to Don? And can you write?
Yes, I will.
We'd love. All right,
with
very
love.
Good.
Okay.
With love.
Yeah.
Done.
All right.
He smote. Just remember, that's the new word. and you know, despite the fact that, you know, there's an age difference there, you are smote with June Lockhart.
Yes, well, Mike, a 30-year age difference means nothing to me.
I know it doesn't. And it's the same way the last time she was on the show. Let's see what she wrote.
I just wrote, to Don, love June Lockhart.
To Don, love June Lockhart.
Again, to order this book, it's P.O. Box 3027.
No, 3207.
3207, my apologies. Santa Monica, California.
Well, here's an envelope for you.
90402. Thank you very much.
She even gave you the Ziploc bag it came in.
Yes.
June, you're a beautiful lady. I do love you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on the show. Round of applause for June Lockhart.
You have all been absolutely darling here, and I'm so thrilled. And now let me just move this little
thing. Give me the Band-Aid off her hand now.
Suck her up, though. I'm going to do it all,
She's making a package out of it.
Yes, there you
are. All right, June Lockhart souvenir.
I'm going to sign this one, too.
No. There's going to be some quality time with me and this
Oh, God.
Oh, I dropped it. Drop the Band-Aid.
Yes.
There you go. The exchange. There we go. Wonderful. You've got the book and you have the Band-Aid.
It was just a chance for my fingers to linger with June's
for a moment. This is the same energy that was on the show the last time June visited us. I'll never quite forget it.
Smoke City.
Yes, the Smoke City.
She's hot. I always thought she's hot on Lost in Space, man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A real star.
All I can tell you is, get in line.
All right. Thank you.
I'll bet.
June, get out of here, June.
Thank
see you later.
June.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
And I'll see everybody tomorrow at the
Gaithersburg Collectible and Antique Show.
Montgomery.
Fairgrounds.
Thank
Fairgrounds.
You.
Right.
Beautiful. Thank you, June.
Bye, June. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
There she goes. She's reading something.
Very nice leather outfit she's wearing.
Yeah. I mean, pretty hip for 75 years old. Wow.
Yeah.
You smoke.
I sure am.
Absolutely.
Ooh, there she was bending over again. Bending over again to put her glasses in her bag.
You are smoked.
I sure am.
Man, there's the theme song.
What are you doing? What are you doing, June?
Oh,
look at that.
Thank you very much. A kiss from June Lockhart.
Mike,
very cool.
Come to Papa. Here we go.
You just behave yourself.
Here we go. Watch
this. This is a 75-year-old woman. You behave yourself here.
Of course I will.
All right.
Now, I ask you.
You're
slinkered. Oh, you see that, Rob? She grabbed my ass. You kicked out of it. I ask you not.
Oh, that's you made his weekend.
Thank you, June.
Thanks, June.
Do love you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
She's great.
She just grabbed my ass.
Batted it.
Grabbed it.
Yeah, he'll be grabbed it forever. There's the Band-Aid.
Band-Aid smells of June.
Oh, my goodness. You love the TV stars.
I do.
You love the classic television.
I love it. Well, because I watched Lost in Space when I was a kid all the freaking time.
And she, although she is a 75-year-old woman, she has the star thing going on still. She knows it.
Oh, Rob, have you, Rob?
What Rob do?
He's going to be like, oh, she's hot. Hey, but Rob, be honest.
No, she looks what, great.
Look, hold on. I don't care about that. Just tell everybody, and please, be 100% honest. Was it a pat? Or a grab on my ass.
I think there was some squeeze there. It might have been at very most, at the most innocent.
It was a cupped hand.
Cupped hand.
Right, baby.
She's lots of fun.
It smells good.
With it, everybody will be like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, brother. All right. Well, she's a very nice lady. Go see her and buy the book. Hell, I'm happy. I can go home now. Show's over.
You got collectible.
I got my book signed and I got my June Lockhart Band-Aid.
You know, and that's cool. The book has that part on the very front where she put Love, Donnie.
That's right.
She loves Donnie.
To Don. Love June Lockhart.
Love you, too.
Now you can check into a Hilton with some lotion.
Yes.
Right, Buzz. Don't even need the movie now.
You going to put the Band-Aid inside the book? That'd be a good place to keep it.
Do you dare me?
I do dare you. Yes, I do dare you. Indeed, I do.
Oh, he licked it.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I did.
He licked it. Oh, I don't think she's got AIDS.
No, that's a little odd.
Yeah.
Your whole thing with her has always been a little strange.
Hey, listen, and you'll admit, it's not a one-way street.
No, there's a little energy between the two of you.
It's not a one-way street.
You like older women, and I think she likes younger guys.
Yeah. And we will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, The Don and Mike Show.
Tomorrow, we have Jay Thomas, Catherine Cryer, and Terry McAuliffe, the new head of the Democratic Party. All right, good sir. And Bob Dornan.
Bob Dornan?
There it was right there.
They can turn a bucket of crap into a bucket of cream. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, tell Charlie Sausage we don't want him to ruin Hannibal for us in the next break.
Okay. Right.
Movie Man coming up.
Very good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, Don and Mike. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Hi, this is Bud Man. I'm driving an 18-wheeler here in Fairfax. I have a June Lockhart memory.
What is that?
When I was 8 years old, my family went down on vacation to Miami Beach, and we stayed in a hotel called the Ivanhoe. We were there about a week and a half. The day that she was coming to stay.
That's an awful connection.
There's a combination of two things. His phone was dropping out. He was talking like,
hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don, how come you didn't give June the old sex quiz?
You know, I had it sitting out right here in front of me.
Just
you know, I got a
little trigger, huh?
Well, I got a, you know, you get a vibe from people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just for me, I mean, I do think it's not standard. We do use that subjectively, and I think 75, 92, I know you tried to give it to Buddy Ebsen the other day.
I think you're only going to get, even if you do it, you're going to get so far, which is maybe like the first question with a sex quiz. I don't think they'll do it. But I don't know.
I think if she had been in here a while more,
you might have like been able to ease into it.
And maybe if she had some wine,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we would have been able to get her into the sex quiz.
But, you know, the sex quiz is a subjective quiz.
Yes.
It's not standard procedure with every celebrity.
She did grab my ass. Grabbed it.
Cupped.
I didn't see it.
Grabbed it.
And listen, can I be honest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Digital manipulation.
Oh, yeah, right. In that brief period of time,
that's right.
She actually digital manipulation. That'll be the name of your new album, Digital Manipulation.
That's right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
What's the deal?
That's right. June Lockhart put a finger in my butt.
No.
Don and Mike. Don and Mike.
God, I hope she's not listening now. She'll really hate me now.
Yeah. No, she'll understand. I think she understands you. I think that's part of the charm. I think she understands exactly what we do in here. That's the vibe I got the first time when we interviewed her out in Los Angeles. That's the vibe I got when she came here today. She gets it.
Do you think she gets it?
I think she gets it.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. I don't think that she would go on a shock radio show if she didn't,
right.
You know, get it.
Exactly.
Hello?
If she didn't want to get it.
She can handle herself.
Sometimes she gets it twice in an afternoon.
Don and Mike.
Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Hey, yo.
I'm going to do a little survey with you. Is that all right?
You can do a survey with us.
Yeah, I got a little...
Shut up.
Here, please.
Get out of here with your surveys.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I was up in the Hilton Hotel room the other day. Had me some of that SpectraVision. Are you sure you got some of that moisturizer? It was gone. I don't know what kind of mastermind decided to take that lotion out, but that person is an asshole tube.
Hey, Elvis, he's gone.
I don't know.
Elvis, lived.
Let me tell you something about June Locker, man.
Okay, what about June Locker?
I was up in the hotel room with June Locker.
Yeah.
I had some moisturizer. It was back in 1969. Oh, she was a piece of ass, man. Now, Charlie Broyhill, let me tell you something, man. That guy was drunk yesterday up in the hotel room. I was having some, he was talking to him, he was mumbling while around the studio. Larry BTCB, DNL, yeah, yeah.
There he goes.
Elvis.
And you know, Elvis lived at the Hilton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So that's, there's a guy that can tell you about moisturizer.
Right, right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, this morning on Channel 9 News, I know how you all love the news people.
Yeah.
Mike Buchanan was talking about that giant squid they found.
Yeah.
And he said that it was...
Yeah, he could leave it right there, yeah, couldn't he?
Already good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm laughing about just Mike Buchanan talking about a giant squid.
What did he say?
He said that it weighed like 536 pounds, and that it was, its body was 12 feet long, and that it had 32-foot-long testicles.
Oh, instead of tentacles.
And the place... I mean, everyone was started laughing. You could hear the camera guys laugh. And after a while, Hillary Howard, she said, "I'm sorry, Mike. I think you mean tentacles."
I hope somebody has tape of it.
Does anybody know that Hillary Howard is a man? I mean, does she have a little boy's body or what?
Hillary Howard.
Girl, oh, stole my cornflakes.
The girl of Channel 9, all right, thank you. Yeah, if anybody has a tape of Mike Buchanan saying 32-foot-long testicles.
Then we'd actually have a Mike Buchanan theme show, because yeah, he'd be talking about the Lictus balls claim.
Right, we had that other tape of him, too. Hi, Don and Mike show. Oops. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
We're great, thank you. Thank you.
Hey,
I said thank you for both of us.
I'm calling about that guy yesterday who was supposedly drugging his wife and having sex with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did you guys act like such babies? I mean, you call yourself shock jocks, shock radio, and you...
All right,
Mike was acting like a big baby.
No, listen to me very carefully now. What we do is shock radio, and what we do is entertainment. There comes a point when you draw a line. If the guy was telling the truth, and he was drugging his wife and raping her, you know, just like if a guy called up and said on the show that he had shot someone, we would not treat that with irreverence.
You got a problem with that?
I got a problem, but you guys seem to pick and choose when you want to be dicks and when you don't want to be.
Yeah, well, you know, that's life, pal.
Hey, listen, it's very simple. A guy calls in and says that he's drugging his wife and raping her. That's not funny.
The crime. It's our show. We'll say what we wish. We play that tape all the time, and you know, it's a matter of opinion as to how bad you think that is. And if you don't have a problem with that, with what that guy did, then I think you have a problem.
Well, I think it was bad, but I think we all know he was joking. And
no, but you know what? Hey, douchebag, listen, the point is, no, we didn't know that he was joking.
Yeah, we thought for the first segment at least, before the crap detectors all went off, the guy was legit.
Mike knew from the beginning. He called in front of from the first minute.
No, I did not call it. I wasn't sure, though. I wasn't 100% sure. I think it could have gone either way. My crap detector went off, but I thought that if this is true, you know, either way, I thought the guy was a sick F. And if you want to call me a baby for feeling that way, I have absolutely no problem with that.
Well, I did, and that's my opinion, and have a nice day.
Hey, right, and now hang up like the coward you are.
He did.
Yeah.
He is.
Right. There you go. Who's the baby now, Batman? I only hope next time it's you being drugged, it'd be an F. And I hope you're being F'd up the A. Really, I do. By a bunch of guys. And I hope you call the show and go, "Look, Don and Mike, I'm being F'd up the A by a bunch of guys." And we go, "Hey, man, you know what? We're shock jocks. That's funny. We don't have a problem with that. Woo! That's funny. Woo! Hope your anus is bleeding. Woo! Happy Friday."
So I guess if he had it his way, we would have been going, "Hey, man, you drug her and had sex with her while she was under the influence of a narcotic? Man, you're fantastic."
No, come on. You don't like it, F you.
There was another guy. Wasn't there another guy that called with that?
No, there was another
guy defending that a-hole.
Same exact type of call.
Weird, man. That's scary. That scares me.
Very.
You know why that scares me?
Because I'm a baby.
I guarantee you wouldn't feel that way if it was your wife or your daughter or someone you knew in that situation. I mean, yeah, we do kid around, but serious crap?
Yeah.
No, we're not going to kid around about that.
We seriously had our legal department calling us, telling us what the deal was with that.
Yeah. I mean, why do you think we had to leave the air at 7:45 yesterday?
Exactly.
Hello?
Hi. I was just wondering if you guys heard the latest from the Diamond in the Morning show.
Well, I know the gerbil left today.
Yeah, Rattling. That was my news.
Bye, Diamond.
Yeah.
I hear it was Teary. Was it Teary?
Yeah.
I was talking about that with Frida today, and she said, why would that guy leave? He's got to be making pretty decent money.
Right.
And I said, I know exactly why the guy would leave. He hates working with Harvey.
Yeah, well, I mean, and anybody that knows Harvey, I know him personally. I've worked with him before. And this is the second time that guy has left.
That's right.
Hey, my friend.
And if Bert Weiss is out there, hey, Bert, if you'd like to make some quick money, call this show and tell us how much you hate Harvey. I'll help you with your moving expenses wherever you're. He's going, like, to Florida or something to be a dispatcher.
Georgia. The truly sad thing is the radio station he's going on is, like, one of these geared towards 16-year-old rap stations.
Oh, my God. Well, first off, he's not good enough to have a show on his own, but, you know, I can understand the guy leaving because how could he stand to work with Jack Diamond every day?
Yeah, and I think he probably only came back out of necessity the first time, the way I understand it. And but when I heard it was a Teary farewell, that just cracked me up.
Man, I'm leaving you again.
But I mean, that guy.
Hey, little buddy, that's all right. I've got my third wife.
That guy is horrible. That guy has no talent whatsoever.
But I mean,
we'll pay him $20 each if he comes on the show.
I'll pay him more than that. I'll pay him $500. I mean, the guy's moving down to where'd you say, Georgia?
Atlanta. Yeah.
Hey, you probably need some dough to put a deposit down on an apartment down there.
Couldn't hurt. But you have to talk honestly about Harvey if you come on.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Actually, I tell you what, I would pay Bert Weiss $20 for answering every question we have honestly about Harvey. He could stand to make up to $2,000.
So each question
that he answers honestly
would be worth $20.
Worth $20.
Hey, how you doing, man? What's happening, my friend? Hey, but Diamond, I miss you.
And listen, if you're listening, Bert, I'd make it easy for you at first. Some of the questions would be like, did you ever laugh at Jack's ponytail behind his back?
Did Jack ever show you his gun?
Yeah, easy stuff like that.
Did Jack ever threaten you with his
gun? The hard questions won't be toward until the end.
Very good.
You know, when did you figure out you hated Harvey? What was the exact date that you figured out you hated Jack Diamond in the morning?
What is the quality in Harvey you hate the most?
What is the worst thing you've seen Harvey do?
Who is the person that has been treated the worst by Harvey?
How bad does Harvey's wife hate him?
Those would be valuable questions.
How long do you give Harvey's current marriage? How about Harvey and his new baby? Oh, my God. Hey, thank you for calling.
Yeah,
I got to get to one more thing about old guys having babies.
Mm-hmm.
So Larry King is on The View. And listen to this. This is hilarious. They're asking him about his kids. And he's pretty much saying that he knows he's going to be dead
right
by the time they grow up.
Do you think about what happens when these kids are 15?
I hope I'm here.
Oh, darling, you'll be here. I'll be here.
I've got to take care of myself. I'll hope.
Yeah.
No, I'm just experiencing it day-to-day, Joy. I don't, at 67, you can't look that far ahead.
Uh-huh.
I just hope I'm here to watch them grow up to see what they're going to be like. I know she'll be here. I know she'll be a great mother. I'll be gone.
No, listen, he knows it.
He'll be gone.
I'll be gone.
Yeah, somebody was talking about this on another show, a television show I was watching. It is ego. That is it. There's nothing else involved with that. It's really ego.
Now we have
for the guy, for the old guys to do that.
Now we have Larry singing. This is Larry singing?
Yes.
Here we go.
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the chants. We have a chance national anthem.
Okay.
Ready? Stand up, kids. Okay?
Come on,
Dad. Now, incidentally, what he's doing is...
Has he brought the kids out on the show?
He's doing a Kathy Lee.
Where
he's got the kids out there, right?
Shameless.
Yeah, and the greatest thing was him and Sean and the two kids, and after he sings both his songs, almost immediately, we're on Nanny.
Yeah, get the kids off the stage.
Get off stage.
What an a-hole.
All right, here he is, trotting the kids out.
Okay. I wrote this song myself. This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is a fancy man. The little fancy man. We love the fancy man. We love his little nosy and we love his little pussy.
Poor kid. Is the kid responding to this, Rob? Is that why the audience is going nuts?
The kid is projectile vomiting at this point.
The kid is terrified. So the kid is like dancing and what is? Tell me what the kid's doing because I want to.
The kid's head is spinning around like on The Exorcist.
I mean, no. I thought that would be better. The kid is just bouncing up and down as kids dance.
Right.
What's he going to do when you have a studio audience of 200 clapping at you? He's
And the other tape we have is Larry singing to the other kid.
Yeah, and you'll notice.
Okay, did you finish that one? Because I want to hear the Where the Nannies Are. I wanted to hear that.
No, that's not on there. I mean, it wasn't worth crying.
Oh, he said that? Okay. Yeah. Where the Nanny.
Then we have Larry singing to the other kid.
And you'll note that the second kid gets a much shorter song with a lot less effort.
Yeah, of course.
We can make the money together.
Is the baby's name. Someday he'll be in the Baby Hall of Fame. Cannon Edward King. Cannon Edward King. Cannon Edward King is the baby's name. He's your brother. He's your brother.
How ridiculous is that?
How sad.
There you go, America's premier TV journalist.
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the chants. We have a chance national anthem. You okay. Ready? Stand up, chance.
I give the kids credit for not bursting into tears when they start.
Okay. I wrote this song myself.
I wrote it myself.
This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is the chancy man. The little chancy man. How we love the chancy man. The chancy man.
The chancy man.
The chancy man.
And then breakfast. No one for the other kid.
We can make the money together.
King is the baby's name. Someday he'll be in the Baby Hall of Fame. Cannon Edward King. Cannon Edward King. Cannon Edward King is the baby's name. He's your brother. He's your brother.
Yeah, the decided lack of energy for the second child.
Right.
And the, you know, Cannon Edward King, kiss your brother.
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the chants. We have a chance national anthem.
I'm going to do
stand up, chants. Okay? Okay.
Jen,
I wrote this song myself.
This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy.
What an ass.
The chancy man. The little chancy man.
What a pure ass.
You know, I don't know which song I've heard today I like better.
Way down upon the Herbert River.
Mad Dog.
Far, far away. Well, I've got sand in every nook and cranny. Pants are wet all day. Yeah.
We can make the Edward money King together. Is the baby's name.
It's your
Someday
brother.
He'll be in the Baby Hall of Fame.
It's your brother.
Cannon Edward King. Cannon Edward King. Cannon Edward King is the baby's name. It's your brother. It's your brother.
Kiss your brother. Kiss your brother now. The other song I like better.
Sing and dance.
What is the other one?
Chance. We have a chance national
this
anthem.
This is a good boy. This is a baby boy.
Okay. I wrote this song myself.
This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is a chancy man.
This is a boy who's going to require years and years and years of psychiatric care.
That is why we like the chancy man.
Daddy can't see. Daddy chancy man.
I'm scary.
All right.
Hi. Now I want the whole TV audience to know that I'm human.
Cannon Edward King is his name.
Kiss your brother.
Kiss your brother. Where's the nannies?
And it's kind of the song, really, when you think about it. The song's a tribute to Larry.
Of course.
It's a chance to say King instead of Zeiger.
Zeiger. He is a big boy. He is a good boy. He is a baby boy.
Breakfast.
Breakfast. Kiss your brother. Hold on. Charlie Stossel will not ruin the movie Hannibal for us when he comes on next with his review.
Number one, Arbitron Radio,
the Don and Mike Show.
That is decided. We take off for Nevada at once.
The Don and Mike Show cordially invites you to a beautiful evening in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Friday, February 23rd, it's the Don and Mike Lake Tahoe Reno Style Show. This gala show will include all the raunchy fun you've come to expect, including the underwear fashion show, of course. The show is at Harrah's of Lake Tahoe, and it starts at 8 p.m. It's first come, first served. So make your plans now. We invite your ass to come on down.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas Style Show.
I'm cutting the fucking spot, Tony.
Don't miss it.
This
is TV's Leah Remini. Jack Diamond is a horse's ass.
Oh, excuse me, Chief. I got something here you might want to see. I hate when people talk during the movie.
For those who serve, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, here he is. Loved by inmates worldwide.
Everybody's a little nervous about Mr. Stossel.
There's no reason to be nervous.
Wearing his brand new Dr. Doolittle glasses.
No, I've had these. I just.
I have not seen you wear those glasses for a while.
I've worn them in here.
Here's Movie Man.
Charlie. Saving your severe buttock trauma.
Oh, no, that's the wrong thing.
That's not a good thing.
Hold on. Well, he might be able to do that. Here's his day.
And now, the pride of Puerto Rico.
Right.
Here's Movie Man, Charlie Stossel.
All right, now, Charlie, no pressure, but.
There is no pressure at all. No pressure.
Taking the family tonight.
You are taking the family.
Tonight.
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 8:15 show.
Okay.
Hannibal, tell me, is it good or is it not good?
Did you read the book?
No.
Okay. You'll be fine. And even for people that I think read the book, you'll be fine too. The big differences between the book and the movie are the ending, as I'm sure everyone has said. There are some key characters in the book.
Watch it. I don't care about the book. I'm a person who just is going to see the movie.
Don't talk about that ending.
And I want to see the sequel, The Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
I have heard that it is more gruesome than the first.
Yeah, you had to take it up a notch, I think.
That it is more graphic than the first.
At parts.
You didn't read any reviews, right? You made a point not to read reviews.
I told Mike today. I know it got slammed in the post.
I made a decision to bail where I wasn't going to go see this weekend, and then I decided to go ahead and read reviews.
The movie centers around Anthony Hopkins, now as Dr. Lecter, 10 years after Silence of the Lambs. He is a curator of a museum in Italy. In Italy. He gets discovered, thus the games begin.
Okay, so somebody finds out that he's Hannibal the Cannibal.
They suspect he is.
Okay, don't tell me anything beyond that.
I won't.
That's it. And I mean, how does the movie compare to the other one?
Well,
and you don't have to go into any detail.
In the
We're
other
all
movie,
so afraid of you today.
You know, just tell us. First, did you like the first Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, it's a classic.
Okay. Is this one even in the ballpark of the first one?
It is in the ballpark. It is not. I think the first one, you know, that is a 4-star movie. It was the last movie that swept the Oscars. This is a worthy follow-up, in my opinion.
Okay, gotcha. It's got a great cast.
The cast is
great. It really does.
Julianne Moore is not bad as Starling. You see, though, Jodie Foster, there's such a difference.
It's got Gary Oldman in it.
Gary Oldman.
It's got Ray Liotta.
As Mason Verger, who is disfigured. You will like
him. We don't want to hear these.
You don't get it.
For Christ's sake, let me explain it to you. When somebody passionately wants to see a film, They when you do that, people are going, la, 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 la.
We just
want to
know.
Your opinion matters. Hold on. I didn't know that he was disfigured. I didn't know. I just want to know.
You should know, Charlie.
He is also
that movie.
Uncredited in this movie. He didn't get one of the top billing spots, so he got pissed off.
Of that movie is gone for none.
And said, I don't want to be credited.
I just wanted your opinion. If you liked it or not.
It's good.
And if you thought it was as good as the other one.
It's not as good, but it is worthy.
Is it? Okay, let me ask you. Because it's more graphic, does that make it? In my mind, that would make it better because the last one, so much of it was psychological.
Exactly.
What you think Hannibal might do.
And I disagree with you. I think because it's more gory, I would think that would make it worse than the first one. Not as good.
Worse in quality?
Silence of the Lambs, in my opinion, is one of the... Still, I can watch it. I've seen it 15 times. I watch it. I think it's one of the scariest movies
it's
I've ever seen.
It's a creep-out movie.
It is just... Yeah. Because the reason... With the gore in Silence of the Lambs, they use just enough to make you like, oh, my God.
Yeah, but you know what?
But then the real fear in all those movies, like all the slasher movies, the gore...
But I want to see it, though.
Well, yeah, I understand, but don't you agree
that... I wanted to see more when I saw the original Silence of the Lambs.
You wanted to see more gore.
Yes, I did.
Anthony
I wanted to
Hopkins.
See more of what Hannibal was capable of.
In Silence of the Lambs...
And you will see that.
In Silence of the Lambs, when he
not shuts the lights off and puts on the goggles and is following her, that to me is when I'm just like going, you know.
You can feel it in the movie theater. That you're exactly right. This does not have those elements, and where they, what they replace the head games with are more of the shock.
All right. Then I will love it. Then I will love this movie.
I hope we're not building it up too much. This is not a slasher movie, though, where, you know, you've got knives and heads being cut off every 5 minutes. This is not what it is.
What, every 10 minutes?
No.
Okay, well, see, that, you know what that was? That was a trick question. And I'm glad that you just... Was that a no, that there's not a head being cut off every 10 minutes, or a no that you're not going to answer specific questions?
Both.
I know. The correct answer would be that, no, you're not going to answer specific questions.
I am so purposely, because of the look I'm getting from Mike over here, I don't want to answer.
No, it's been a long time since I've had a movie that I was really interested in, and now I've changed that because I'm not as interested in it because I got bombarded with it, and I'm not as jacked as I was. Really, I wanted to be the first in line to see it. But I still want to see this movie, and I've never, you know, now I can relate kind of to people when they freak out about hearing anything about it. You know, any movie that people are really excited about seeing, you are bombarded. If the movie has any press at all, you're
this
bombarded with
charting
trailers
so high.
And plot summaries and all this information because people are writing about it. And if you really want to just go in and have a full experience, it's very difficult.
This movie is going to push $50 million this week.
Yeah, no doubt.
Absolutely.
No doubt. Okay.
And Hopkins is so elegant. And it's so much fun watching him on screen, where he's had 10 years to grow into this character. And no matter what role this man ever has, he's always going to be known as Hannibal Lecter. But watching him on screen, the elegance that he has in movement, in how he interacts with people, where you know what he is, but they don't know.
Okay, bottom line, how many porcelain dolls do you give it?
Three dolls. A strong three.
Strong three dolls. Okay, I'll take the recommendation. We're going to see it tonight. Yeah. We're taking the boy, incidentally, because, frankly, he's 15. He can handle it. What about all the hype that I'm reading that, and is this hype or not?
Sure.
That they're not going to run ads on MTV during the day, that they're,
yeah,
they're going to keep,
no,
the ads.
Not hype.
They're going to keep the ads to late night TV, that they're going to actually have people looking at driver's licenses, yeah, at the door.
Yeah.
You're saying it's not hype, Charlie, but I would tell you that there's not a studio in the world that wouldn't mind that kind of price.
Like, you don't need, for certain movies, Star Wars movies, for this type of, you don't need a lot of hitting that teen audience, especially with a movie like this. And how the R rating now, with how Congress is looking into making sure theaters enforce the R rating.
You're agreeing with them, Buzz, but I still think it's, I think studios love that. You agree?
I think it's absolute hype.
I mean, they'd love to get that. I mean, if you can come out with, this is so graphic,
you know what,
I'm going
like
to market it to kids. That's the way you get 7 million kids to show up at the theater.
I was telling Bart, the last movie that I can remember that had something like this was when The Exorcist was out.
Mm-hmm.
When they had warnings saying, you know, you could get sick if you go to this movie.
Right.
No one under the age of 18 is going to be allowed in the theater.
I remember I'm the youngest one in my family. I remember all the kids in my family going out to see this movie, and I was the only one that couldn't go.
Yeah.
All right, so Hannibal, we'll go see it this weekend. We hope you're right.
Disturbingly graphic movie.
I love that. Love that. What else?
There's another movie coming out.
What an awful
for
weekend.
For some reason.
What an awful weekend to schedule another movie.
It's
what's
counter-programming,
the other
one? A movie called Saving Silverman, which on the surface is a great premise. Three guys played by Jack Black, who was in High Fidelity.
The fat guy, right?
Fat guy in High Fidelity. Steve's
on. That looks funny.
Steve Zahn, who I think is best known as the bass player, or I think was the bass player in That Thing You Do, the blonde,
right,
who
right
tries to pick up everybody, and Jason Biggs from American
Pie.
These three guys, buddies since childhood, grow up. Jason Biggs falls for Amanda Peet, who, wow, what a stunningly attractive woman.
Just looks a little fast time to Ridgemont High.
You know, there's a little bit of Ruthless People in it, too.
Okay.
She manipulates this guy so much that...
Manipulates him?
Manipulates.
Like Jude Lockhart manipulated him?
No, different. Mentally, not physically.
Oh, mentally.
Where he is at her beck and call.
Mike was anal.
I know, I heard. Good for you.
Deep.
Probing. Deep penetration.
So she takes control of his life. He gets estranged from his buddy. So now the two friends are like, we want our friend back. And all three of them grew up loving Neil Diamond, so they have a cover band, Diamond in the Rough. They all dress like Neil Diamond in 1970 and do Neil Diamond covers. The first half hour is very promising, and it's funny, and you're following along, but for some reason they go down a road in this film. I don't know why they did it, and it just kind of falls off the edge of a cliff.
Like Saturday Night Live skit.
Like a skit that goes too long on Saturday Night Live. If you go through the first half hour of Saving Silverman, it's a funny movie, the first half hour.
The one fat guy just has a funny face. I laugh at him every time I see him.
And he does a lot of the same things from High Fidelity. Those same looks and mannerisms are in this film as well.
How many porcelain dolls do you give this?
Two.
Just two?
I give it more if there were more Amanda Peet's.
That's amazing. The movie's going to get, you know, crushed.
It will get absolutely crushed. I think what they're hoping is that Hannibal will be sold out. You won't be able to get in. What else can we go? So there's this other new movie.
All right. So for the record, you like Hannibal.
I like Hannibal.
3 stars.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
All right. Now get out before I say anything else.
That's right.
All righty.
Get out,
Charlie.
Not that we don't trust you, but get out of here. Good job. Get out. You did very good job today. Charlie is a good boy. He didn't tell the plot.
He gave it 3 stars. He gave it 3 big stars.
Charlie is a good boy.
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the Cats. We have a Cats National Anthem.
Okay.
Ready? Stand up, Cats. Okay?
Come on, Dad. Don't be scared.
Okay. I wrote this song myself.
This is a good boy. This is a nice boy.
Charlie.
He's a happy boy. This is a fancy man. The little fancy man. How we love the fancy man. The fancy man.
That's how we love the Charlie man. The Charlie man.
He is a good boy.
He is a Charlie boy.
A big boy. Jesus.
All right, so he's giving it 3 stars.
He is a good boy. He likes to bathe, boys.
It is a bathy boy.
So, and you will give us, of course, your...
Let you know.
Your lowdown.
Let you know.
And if you do like it, props to Charlie.
I'll let you know.
The Charlie boy.
He is a Charlie boy.
He is a Sunday boy.
What is this ham on us that we have a movie reviewer on?
And we purposely now, if it's a good movie, we don't let him tell us anything about the movie.
I think it speaks to, Charlie's got a style of reviewing movies.
We don't trust him.
He's got a style of reviewing movies that when a big one comes out, we just have to kind of rein him in a little bit.
To say, did you like it or not?
You know, what did you like about it? What didn't you like about it? No plot.
Right, please.
Yeah, because he already told me more about Saving Silverman than I knew about that.
That's because he's a jolly boy.
He's a big boy.
Kiss your brother.
He likes to bathe, boys. He's a jolly boy.
He's a jolly boy.
I wrote this song myself.
Quiz and Annie.
Hey, listen, I know I heard them. Yes, there they are, the touch tones. $500 online with secret song number 6. We'll give you a shot at the money right now. If you're fast on the phone, be the 100th caller at 877-365-3636.
Number 1, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
W47 at WRC. Joel A. Spivak speaking. Alex Trebek is our guest, the host of Jeopardy and a couple of other
classic concentrations
on NBC.
I'm sorry, I've never seen that one, Alex. But you're in my house every night with Jeopardy.
Good.
Michael's in his car. Michael, you're on WRC with Alex Trebek.
Hi, good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Michael.
I'm going to have to forgive you if my car phone breaks up here. I'm driving along 270, but I want to tell you I'm a big fan of the show.
Good.
And I want to say congratulations to you and your wife.
Thank you.
On the little one. And I want to tell you also, I really enjoyed the interview with Don and Mike this morning. Great. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you're calling.
Michael?
Hello.
Goodbye. Charles in Arlington, you're on WRC.
Hi, Joel. I wanted to ask Alex, I love the show, and I've been waiting a while. I wanted to ask Alex, how much does it cost to produce one episode of Jeopardy?
All right, good question. Hang up and listen. How much does it cost to put one of those things on the air?
I'm not sure.
Fred and Alexandria, you're on WRC with Alex.
Hello?
Go ahead, Fred.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, hello. Fred is having a little problem there, which I hope he'll straighten out.
Good morning,
those are the days.
Under the direction of Andrew Blake, it's the Don and Mike Show.
So we used to just sit in the office and call other radio stations.
You know, just that would be something we would have done in a month like February.
Yeah.
We would have just been hanging out, you know, not a lot to do.
Just all bored.
Yeah.
Back before there was all this syndication stuff, back when you had local shows. Damn this syndication thing.
Yeah, we used to pick on everybody in this market.
Hey, listen. Next Wednesday's Valentine's Day. We have a very special Valentine's show.
All right.
It's the blind date show. 10 nude girls. One guy wearing a blindfold. He's going to pick the girl he likes best based on her personality only.
Wow.
He won't be able to see what she looks like. The girl who's picked wins $1,000.
That's right.
And then she goes out on a dream date with the guy who we're going to pick next week live on the radio.
It's going to be wonderful.
Right. No doofuses, please. The guy has to be a real, you know, good guy.
That's right.
And we'll send them down to the world-famous Washington, D.C. Palm Restaurant for a night of eating and drinking and limo for a great why do I always say Thanksgiving? For a great Valentine's Day.
Because Valentine's Day and Thanksgiving are just exchangeable in your household.
And, of course, this weekend here in D.C., it's the NBA All-Star Game, and we all know that's the Black Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Right. That's what it was said in the paper.
It's Thanksgiving weekend as far as I'm concerned. So, listen, girls, if you're interested, here's what we need. We have spots for 10 girls.
Right.
And here's how we have this formatted out. 3 hotties. I mean, Hooters girls, exotic dancers, 3 like that.
Strong-looking women.
Oh. Then 3... average girls who are cute.
Yeah, you can be, right in the middle of the pack.
Then 3 girls, maybe a little low on self-esteem.
And maybe who are big-boned.
Yeah, and close to the wall.
Very good.
Okay, and then...
any one of those things.
Yeah.
Low on self-esteem, big-boned, and close to the wall. That would fit that 3-girl category.
And then number 10.
Woo!
That's Brimhilda.
Warning.
Now, we've got a setup when the guy comes in. It'll be kind of like a Win Ben Stein's Money.
Uh-huh.
When they put the one guy in the sound booth and they put the headphones on and he can't hear anything that's being said.
He will be blindfolded and he will also not hear the description, which I guess Buzz will give of the women, their vital statistics.
Right. So here you go. Thank you, Rob, for the helpful chart. We need 3 girls who consider themselves to be 10s.
Uh-huh.
3 girls who consider themselves to be 7s, 3 girls who consider themselves to be 5s, and 1 girl who thinks that she's a 1 or less. And the good news for all the girls is that the only people who will see you naked are me and Mike and Buzz,
mm-hmm.
and you have a 1 in 10 chance of winning $1,000.
And it'll be fun. You'll have a good time, and everybody will be enjoying the experience.
Now, because the girls got to remain anonymous until the day of the contest, there's the rub.
Mm-hmm.
You got to call Charlie or Lisa in the office to sign up for this contest, girls.
Right.
So it's a different phone number, area code 703-691-1900. And after hours, you can ask for Charlie Broyhill's voicemail or Lisa's voicemail.
Amen.
And we'll get the girls together, and Monday we'll start looking for the guy. Now, call 100 time. Secret song number 6, and here's a call 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I am caller 100.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, you know what, what the hell, I'm going to say the name of the guest. The special guest we have on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
In studio, the surprise guest to celebrate the greatest of all love days.
Huh?
Your favorite wrestler. Mankind.
Mankind!
Yeah. I love Mankind.
Fantastic.
He's a very romantic gentleman.
Yeah, he loves love.
And he'll be here on a Valentine's Day show also.
Perfect.
Wrestler Mankind.
Love Mankind.
Hey, what is your name?
Hi, my name's Doug.
Hi, Doug. Where are you from?
I'm from Herndon, Virginia.
Beautiful. Doug, call 100. That's you, and you have won a dozen long stem roses courtesy of Sprint PCS. Order flowers on the PCS Wireless web. You can order just about anything from Prince's PCS Wireless web.
That's wonderful.
Now you're going to go for $500 with the secret song. I know that Mike was being prepped in the back room about who you're going to be singing like this time.
Yeah, it didn't work out, though, but I've got a choice that I think everyone will love.
Okay, so we'll give you 15 seconds to think about it. We need the artist and title. Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
Om and Om.
And we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
There it is. A top 10 song from
the 1970s. And, of course, this company is cheap. The money we're giving away for this contest is courtesy of our friends at Main Street Title.
No, I'm the Slim Shady. I'm the real Slim Shady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That almost made me spit up my drink. That's where I go to take a swig of my soda.
Right.
And it was right at that moment that you go, well, I'm the Slim Shady. Okay, Whitey. Thank you. For $500, we need title and artist on that song, please.
I'd like to guess Sticks, Too Much Time on My Hands.
Excellent guess. 100% wrong.
Oh.
Thank you. And don't forget that every guess
is a clue for you.
For you. And now let's go right to a Friday favorite.
It's yeah. Now on
Jeff Hardy. And you know what? A guy we've been talking about all day long. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome me and, well, welcome me and welcoming Hannibal Lecter.
Hello, Don.
Hey, Hannibal.
Well, hello, Don.
What's up, dude?
So nice to be back on the show again.
How's the movie?
The movie's wonderful. I hope you enjoy it. You're wearing that Calvin Klein cologne, aren't you?
Yes, CK1.
Hello, Buzz.
Hello.
Are you going to attend the film?
Tonight I am with my family.
What a wonderful idea. I'm reunited with Clary. It's fantastic. Hello, Rob.
Hey, Henny.
I see you've lost weight.
I have.
What a small tragedy. Is there anyone in here that's gained weight?
You know, I think we've all lost weight since the last time you saw us.
I think so. What another tragedy that is. I've been spending some time abroad. I had an old friend over for dinner. Would you mind if I sit down?
Have a seat, Hannibal.
Thank you. Is there any Chianti?
No Chianti. Oh, you know what? You're going to be real sad to hear. You know who left the station since the last time you were here?
Who left?
Liz.
Ah, Liz. I remember her very well. She was a very, very talented girl, that Liz. Very large, very talented. I remember smelling her cologne. She wore a lovely perfume. I believe it was Liz Taylor's White Diamonds, and I smelled it every day. Or perhaps it was Swedish Fish. I'm trying to remember. There are several people here with wonderful scents that I can smell when I'm down in the parking lot. I can smell everyone, you know. I can identify everyone's smell. Rob Spiewak?
Yes.
Krell.
Yes, very good.
Buzz Burbank?
Yes.
Interesting. Hurt shampoo and conditioner.
Wow.
And a variety of different cosmetics. Bring them all in, I'll be able to identify their smell.
Do you smell white shoe polish on Buzz?
There's the slight scent of shoe polish, and let me check. Oh, I can't smell anything now.
Why?
I smell feces. Oh, I smell an overwhelming smell of feces.
Hi, Don.
No, it's Charlie.
Charlie Broyhill.
I'll identify them. Step a little closer. Hello, Charlie.
Hi.
Feces. A Wendy's Frosty.
Oh.
Some chicken and rice. Foot odor. And some hair gel. An unknown kind. Are you wearing a generic?
Yeah.
Very good, Charlie. Skinny boy.
Yeah, very perceptive.
Hey,
send in Lisa. I'd love to have Hannibal smell Lisa. She's hot. She's hotter than the girl you have in the movie this time.
That doesn't matter to me. Hot does not appeal to me.
Oh, come on.
Weight appeals to me. What's your name?
Hi, Dr. Lecter. I'm Lisa.
Oh, well, hello, Lisa.
Oh.
So nice to see you.
What do you smell on her? Wow, he's really smelling you.
Why, I believe you've bathed today.
No, it is Friday.
You've used Calgon bath oil beads.
Yes, I have.
They're all wonderful. You also shampooed your hair. Let me see. The shampoo you used is a generic shampoo. I'm very disappointed. Try to use something a little more special next time, Lisa.
I will, Dr. Lecter.
Very nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you, too.
Thanks so much. Mind the door. And Don, I see you're still using that Calvin Klein.
Yeah.
Might I suggest Carolina Herrera? Or perhaps you could take one of the Fendi colognes. I've spent some time in Italy.
Hey, you know what? I got something I want you to smell.
I heard your story earlier talking about the hand cream.
Oh, at the hotels? Yeah.
I can smell every lotion and hand cream. That's what I do. Quid pro quo.
All right.
I just don't know why I said that. I just like to say quid pro quo.
We had a guest on the show today. Here's a real test for you.
Very good.
We had a guest on the show who gave me a souvenir.
Yes.
It is in this leather bag that I carry to work.
May I see the bag?
Yeah, go ahead.
I won't look in it.
Go ahead. Let's see. Smell the bag and tell me if you can guess.
What? There's blood. There's the smell of blood. It excites me. Excuse me. There's the slight smell of blood. Let me smell the bag again. I believe that's the smell of an Arturo Fuente Robusto.
Okay, yeah, there is a cigar in there, but there's something else in there that was given to me by a celebrity today.
There's blood with just a trace of infection.
Oh, no. Are you getting closer?
Is that a scab? Is there a scab on the Band-Aid?
Can you identify the celebrity who the scab came from?
Just one moment. Let me sniff your bag. Mind me for a minute. I believe it's June Lockhart.
Oh. You are amazing.
Fantastic. Wow. And the scab came from her hand. She had something burned off. Not too painful, but an inconvenience that she had difficulty dealing with.
Left or right hand?
Would you like to catch her? Would you like to catch Miss Lockhart?
Yeah, I'd like to catch her.
Would you like to catch her?
Yeah.
I bet you would. I bet you'd like to catch June Lockhart, put her in a well. Keep her in a well at your house. Visit her occasionally. Tell her to drop by. Have a cup of coffee. Knock her over the head and put her in a well. That's what you'd like to do, isn't it, Don?
Yeah.
That's what your deep soul is telling you to do. Ms. Lockhart, I've been a big fan for years and years. Have her sit down at your kitchen table. Knock her over the head with a salt and pepper shake.
Wow.
Put her in the well. Put her in the well. Keep her dog down there with her. Send her food down in a pail.
You're reading my mind.
With a piece of twine wrapped around it. How you doing, Buzz?
I'm doing well.
I can read your mind, too, Buzz.
What do you think I'm thinking, Dr. Lecter?
You've always thought wonderful thoughts. You portray yourself as a nice newsman, when in truth the fact is you're a frustrated killer just like me. Oh, what Buzz Burbank really would like to do with his time, not collect cats. He'd like to eat cats. He won't let you know. He protests vigorously when anyone talks about killing cats, when in fact the truth is what he'd really like to do is he'd like to roast cats, skin them alive, and then eat them like sushi on his kitchen table. Isn't that what you'd really like to do, Buzz?
Come on, Buzz. Come clean. I admitted that I wanted to put June Lockhart in a well and
tell the truth, Buzzy. What you are is a cat killer. Well, that's what you really thrive on. You'd like to see a cat, any cat, a tabby, a calico, even one of those tomcats that goes tomcatting around. You'd like to collect all the cats, get them alive, and while they're still wiggling, take a butter knife. That butter knife right into the flesh of the cat.
Oh.
And munch on it, Buzz, and eat all the guts. That's what you'd like to do, isn't it?
Oh, I've been a little curious.
Right, what about Robbie Spiewak?
Step over to the microphone, young Rob. Rob Spiewak, otherwise known as Brains, the smart guy, the guy that knows all the details, pop culture, but he's got another collection.
He does?
A collection that no one knows about, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Huh?
Well,
a collection that exists in your bedroom, Rob. I'm talking about under your bed, under the slab of carpeting you have under your bed.
I don't know that we need to go into this.
When you lift it up and you'll find things under there that are unspeakably evil, things that people only know that know Rob's dark soul. That would be only one individual, but he's not around anymore because he caught Rob's collection. And unfortunately, he had to join it. I'm talking about the hands and fingers of all of your acquaintances Virginia Commonwealth University. Yeah, 20 years ago, there were a few unsolved murders, and it was Rob Spiewak who would lure all the people back. Hey, come back to my dorm room. Let's watch a little Lost in Space or a little Dick Van Dyke show. Then you'd murder them, chop them up, disembowel them, throw the guts down into the...
It was the River
into the
James.
College, into the college river. And then you'd keep all of them. You'd boil the skulls and then mince them down into a fine powder, which you'd use every day when you take your shower. You'd sprinkle yourself with that skull bone powder. And you'd wear it with yourself all day long. That's what you do, isn't it, Rob?
Odd you would know that, but yes.
People don't realize that every single person, including Stimpy, is dead under Rob's bed. Remember Stimpy?
Oh, you mean Stimpy the fireman?
Remember that yarn that Rob spun about him going away and living with Ma?
Yeah.
He's telling a fib. He killed Stimpy, chopped his head off, ground the bones down, and wears them as a nice fine powder. You think he's that pale for real? No, what it is, it's skull bone.
It is. Little SB.
I know you, Rob. I know what's in your soul.
That's creepy how you know that.
That's because I'm Hannibal, and I know everybody's thoughts.
Wow.
Deep, dark thoughts, absolutely. Yeah. I could read Broyhill's thoughts if you brought him in here again.
Hey, Charlie, come here. Ooh. This is very interesting. I mean, I know that you're, you know, an awful killer. Did you eat people? Hannibal the cannibal. But
I can tell you something about killers, Don.
What's that?
I'll help you catch them. Would you like to catch them, Clarice? I mean,
okay.
Don.
Here he is now, the man that you've already identified as the smell of feces.
Let me put each hand on the side of my temple here, and I'll try to read Charlie Broyhill's mind. Here we go.
I guarantee you there's nothing in there, Hank.
I'm not getting any signals. There are no murders in your past. You haven't killed anyone. What I'm getting is a mountainside. There's lush vegetation. There's a group of silverback gorillas crawling up the mountain. They're eating bananas, and they're grooming each other with the babies riding on the mother's backs. It's a series of gorillas. My God, boy, you were raised by gorillas, weren't
you? That's my family reunion.
Ah, the mama gorilla didn't like Charlie. She shunned him away because he looked like a human being. But he kept coming back for more. He was raised by gorillas. You were Charlie Broyhill. You're a monkey boy.
Yes, I am.
You eat like a monkey, you talk like a monkey, and most important, you go to the bathroom outside whenever you get the chance.
Throw it wherever I can.
Very good. Thank you. You can be excused. He doesn't like to stay a while. He's afraid I'll get more into his soul.
Sure.
How he prefers to go number two out in his backyard as opposed to using the porcelain that exists inside of his home. That's right. Any morning, early. Got to get up early. Roust Charlie out of bed. Check him out at about 5:30 a.m. Get a flashlight. Go into his backyard. You'll see him taking a growler, squatting down. Charlie Broyhill.
Hey, listen, one more person. I don't know if he's here or not. Is Wendell here?
I think so.
Because I think if ever there is a mind that I would like you to read, Hannibal, it is our engineer, Wendell Hall.
Absolutely.
He's in here most days, broadcast engineer Wendell Hall.
I know who you're talking about, and I'm getting a strange feeling. It's a feeling at the pit of my stomach of joy, ecstasy. I'll tell you right now, Wendell Hall is your boy. He's your marked man.
Yeah.
He's your guy you got to keep your eyes on.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything bad. As a matter of fact, he's been real innocent. But he's been on the internet a lot, looking at all sorts of pictures, getting himself all lathered up. Hello, Wendell.
Hi, Wendell. Dr. Lecter.
It's nice to see you. I may be the only one in this room that can tell each and every one of these boys exactly what you have planned, what you got up your sleeve. It's a big plan, isn't it, Wendell?
Do tell.
That's right. On the outside, you pretend you like all these boys. You like Don and Mike. You like being on the show. You like your coworkers. When in truth, they don't know what you're planning. They don't know it's going to be the shootout at the OK Corral with Wendell. That's right. At this very moment, Wendell's got a Jeep full of automatic weapons. And one of these days, he's going to be a little late for work. Round three or so. He'll come rolling into the studio, but he's not going to take the usual route in the garage. He's going to drive right through that window right there. He's going to pop out of his vehicle and he'll start shooting. He won't stop until all his ammo's gone. Ain't that right, Wendell?
Damn, now on to plan B.
There you go. Take care, my boy. You're quite a cowboy. Yes, sirree. You haven't done anything yet, but you're planning big things. And then afterwards, as you walk amongst the twitching bodies of your co-workers who are dying on the ground, you'll take a little swipe with your fingers and drink the blood of them, Wendell. With a nice Chianti.
Wow. You're amazing. You know, I should start booking you on the show as a new mind reader instead of Alan Cunningham.
I got special powers, Donnie.
I know you do.
I got very special powers, and I'm glad to hear you're taking the whole familia to see the film. I hope you enjoy it. It's very gory.
Yeah, that's what Charlie Stossel said. Oh, that's the last person I wanted to ask you about.
Shirley, fire away.
Have you had a chance to read the mind of our movie man, Charlie Stossel?
He was just here a few moments ago.
Yeah, right before you came in, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that boy's filled with something that I don't even want to talk about. He's filled with something we call pure hate. A deep, dark hate. But there are only two individuals he's directing that hatred at right now.
Let me guess.
It's powerful, it's stinging, it's strong, and it's the host of the show, Don and Mike.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, you see, Charlie resents you. He resents you with a strong hatred that's pure like a pinpoint. He wants to play with you, though. He wants to turn you both into his dolls.
Ooh.
He wants to kill you slow. And he wants to take you home and say, here are my friends Don and Mike. You see, he's got other bodies at his table. He wants to prop you up in a big easy chair and talk to you because you can't talk back. He'll cut your tongues out. He'll feed them to his dog. Then he'll put on his hockey jersey and he'll look at you. He'll look at your dead, lifeless bodies. And he'll have lovely conversations to the wee hours until the bodies start to stink. Then someone will call the authorities. By that time, Charlie will have moved to another state, working at another theater, hating other friends. Thanks a lot. I'll help you catch him, though.
You're rather amazing.
Wow. You are. I like to think I'm amazing. I really do. Yeah. Quid pro quo.
Are you going to wear that mask at some point during the show today?
I could put it on for you right now.
Okay, very quickly. Put your mask on.
You see this mask I'm wearing right now?
Dale!
You know who's got one just like it?
Who?
Charlie Stossel. It's a modified hockey mask that he got at a Capitals game. And he's going to put that mask on when he slowly fillets you and your partner into two pieces. And sews you back together filled with stuffing from some of his Dalmatian toys. He'll stare at you and he'll feed you turkey legs. As he slowly pleasures himself.
Oh, no.
He's a sick boy, that Charlie Stossel.
There is.
I'll help you catch him, Don.
Okay, will you help us catch him?
I'll help you catch him. Him and Wendell are the ones you have to work okay. out for. One of these days they'll show up. Charlie will have a blade. Wendell will have a gun.
Okay, listen, Hannibal. Stand by.
Be my pleasure. I got nowhere to go. I'm hiding, don't you know?
We will take the first two calls right now. I think we do two challengers this week.
I hope they're wearing cologne.
For the low-budget Jeff RD at 877.
Hey, Don.
365-3636. Yes.
Love your suit.
We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lake, the Don and Mike Show.
Taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Proudly, down to only two herpes pills a day. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Who was that crazy cat?
That was you in the movies, you nuts.
I remember vividly. I tell you, I like it when you play the clips. Goody, goody.
Hey, are you happy that, what's her name, Nell is not in this movie with you?
Oh, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I just walk to my own drummer. Just every day, it's the simple beat of the drum. Eat, eat, eat. Kill, kill, kill. But I'll tell you right now, there's something you ought to remember and remember it good.
What's that, Hannibal?
I'm a damn sight more normal than some of the people you got right in between the walls here at WJFK.
And oh, don't I know that?
Some of your salespeople waiting to go off the deep end, too.
Oh,
some
listen.
Of them making a soup that you might not want to have your bones in. I'm talking, of course, about that Tim McWilliams. He may cover himself up with a different beard and a different hairdo every day, but inside he's got the heart of a killer, and I'd watch my back.
Who else,
that boy.
Who else back there are you concerned about?
There's several individuals you really have to keep a keen eye on. But I'll tell you, there's a guy named Steve Goldstein. He might appear to be a hard-driving sales guy, but there's more that he likes to drive. He likes to take long drives out into the countryside on long weekend nights at 2 or 3 in the morning, dig a hole and dump something in there that ain't too pretty. Ain't too pretty because it's in a plastic bag in pieces.
Let me ask you about one more person. He used to work here. He's up in New York now at our station there.
Surely.
Jeremy Coleman.
Ah, Jeremy Coleman. Mild-mannered Jeremy won't let you into his soul. Won't let you really get inside the walls of his brain. But I'll tell you, what's going on there is a feast like you wouldn't believe. Because Jeremy shares the same affinity that I have. You know what that is?
What's that?
He likes the taste of human flesh. He really does, indeed he does. He likes to put on dresses, walk through the village and try to find his victims, and then he stuffs them into his closet. And when the stink's too bad, he takes them out in the trash and puts them on his sidewalk and says, take it away, I'm done. Done with ye. Hello, Jeremy. I'm Hannibal. I'll be visiting you soon.
Now, you don't wear dresses, do you?
I don't like dresses, but occasionally I've been known to do all sorts of deviant behavior. One time a program director came and decided he'd get my autograph. I ate his spleen with a root beer.
Hannibal, let's play some low-budget Jeff RD. We have, oh, look at this, how sweet fresh meat.
Ah, fresh meat, I love the fresh meat.
We have two brand-new contestants for you, and here they are.
Now entering the studio are two brand new fresh meat contestants. First of all, here's a fellow doctor, an anesthesiologist from Brookville, Maryland. Let's say hi to Dave Levy.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Dave.
Yes, sir.
Who's put more people to sleep? You or Buzz?
Hey, not only Buzz, but actually woke more of
them up. Just a joke, Buzz.
I like the sense of humor. It's great. But he's marking that down on his big book that he writes in blood.
I know. You know what? But Buzz didn't even laugh at that because he's still upset about the cat comments, I think.
I understand he didn't like it. Yeah, a little cat sushi in the Burbank house shaken. That tastes good. How about a little soy sauce with your kitty paw? And now entering the studios, our second challenger. He's a computer line installer from Springfield. And he's talking in the background.
He's my real name on the radio.
Derek.
What's up?
Now, I'd like to know something, Derek. Are you listening, and are you listening good?
I'm listening good, Hanny.
Goody, goody. Who was talking in the background?
I don't know.
All right, I'll ask you, Mr. Levy. Who was talking in the background?
No idea.
Now, boys, I have to tell you something. We run a tight ship in the old room.
Someone was talking in the background saying, I don't want him to use my real name.
Oh, that was me.
Who's that, Derek?
No.
Dave?
I don't want to end up on Shady Grove Road with a sign saying we'll intubate for food.
Okay, Dave.
Got you, Dave.
So he's in the middle of work putting people out. Yeah, way to do. And you know something, with an anesthesiologist, it's real important that they pay attention to what they're doing. And I know your patients will be grateful. You're playing low-budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is the host of LBJ. Dave and Derek, don't screw with LQ. Say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, Alex. Hi, Derek. Hi, Dave. Guys, don't forget, answer the form of a question. I live with my mom wearing football tie suit by Mr. Guy. Call me Alex and listen to the game, that is LQ or Chris Master, and always call him Hannibal the Cannibal. And here are your categories. They are, name that XFL team.
XFL, very violent. I like that.
TV stuff.
TV stuff, it bores me. I have other late night activities.
Rock and roll, true or false?
Rock and roll, hoochie coo, goody goody.
Do you want DVD and home video?
I got some DVDs that'll curl your hair. Actually, they're more like videotapes.
And states and capitals.
States and capitals. Try to visit all of them if I can, and the world centers, too.
All right, give me those categories one more time, guys. They are, name that XFL team.
I'm hungry.
TV stuff.
I need a snack.
You know what? I bet you're really sad John Pop doesn't work here anymore.
John Pop was one of the nicest guys you had working here. Followed him home one night. Got distracted. Almost could have finished the job. I would have had a nice Pop souffle. He's a big guy.
You know who you should meet?
Who's that?
Jason Vesey.
Jason Vesey.
Let me describe him to you.
Ooh.
About 6'2"?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 270, 280.
Why don't you bring him over next week? I'll boil the pasta.
Let's see. Name that XFL team. TV stuff. Rock and roll, true or false. New on DVD and states and capitals. Dave, the anesthesiologist, we'll start with you.
Rock and roll, true or false.
All right, beautiful. True or false, please. David Lee Roth has rejoined Van Halen.
False.
That was not in the form of a question.
Dr. Dave wasn't paying attention, Derek, so it's your chance to steal. Good luck to you.
What is true?
Right, he's back with Van Halen.
All right, Derek Cosby. Any relation to Bill?
Just with name.
Very good. Okay, go ahead, Derek.
Let me get that rock and roll for two.
Michael Nesmith has rejoined the Monkees.
What is false?
Correct again.
Very good, Derek. You're on a roll. Select again.
Let me end that category for three.
Jason Newsted has left Metallica.
What is false?
Dave, your chance to steal.
What is true?
That's true. Guy's a bass player. Been in Metallica for 14 goddamn years. Just quit.
And with one stroke of the brush, he went ahead and he tied the game. Go ahead, Dave. You're in control.
Oh, states and capitals. Here we go. It is the capital of the great state of Texas.
What is Austin?
Right.
$1. Way to go, Dave. You're on a roll now.
Keep going.
You're taking a lead. Don't interrupt me or I'll eat your kidneys with some applesauce and a nice grape juice.
Hey, Hannibal.
Yes, Don.
You know, Austin, Texas, that makes me think George Bush.
George Bush, yes, sir.
Who would you rather
eat. I know you don't like. I know you. You don't.
I'm
going like
to stop you right there and say I'd eat Dick Cheney. Yeah, the round mound of sound in the White House. He'd be wonderful. I'd like to try him with a lovely bean dip and a nice cream soda.
Eating Dick with cream soda?
Yes, sirree. Ah, very good. Who was that said that?
That was Dave.
Dave. Dave is interrupted once again, Lord Quizmaster. Dave. I request a point be taken away.
Take a dollar away.
You're down to $3, fun boy. You still want to keep playing ball?
Sure.
Very good.
All right, states and capitals for two. It is the capital of the great state of Nebraska.
What is Lincoln?
Right. $2 for Chatty Dave. Way to go, Dave. Select again.
Last one.
Hey, Hannibal?
Yes, sirree, Don.
If you were to make a root beer float out of Dick Cheney's head, would you cut the top of his head off and then, like, pour all the root beer and stuff and the ice cream in there? Would you make a black cow? You know what I mean? Like, you took a saw and you cut the top of Dick Cheney's head off.
Well, Donnie, I believe I got a new name for you.
What's that?
The apt pupil. You've been studying and studying hard.
Goody, goody.
I'll eat it. I'll fry his eyelids with some scalloped potatoes. And a nice limeade. How your boy in the back going to town with these now? Yes, sirree, Rob Spiewak likes the food items. I believe I'll have a stack of paper in front of me a mile long.
Okay. State and capitals for three. Here we go. It is the capital of the great state of Montana.
What is Helena?
Helena, yes.
What was the dollar value, I guess?
$3.
$3. Way to go, Dave. You're back in command. Select again.
The way I visualize it is if you cut off the top of Cheney's head and you put a straw in there, it's like when you go to a tropical island and they give you a coconut to drink.
Yes.
And they just cut the top off the coconut.
I did that with a monkey brain one time.
Oh, you did?
Ate it live. Live and fresh. Buzz has tried it with cats.
Has he really?
Yes. I ate his earlobe.
Do you eat the cat's earlobe?
I eat his earlobe with some cream corn and a nice fresca. Dave, you're in control.
TV stuff.
Okay, TV stuff. Oh, these are easy. You'll get these. A stupid teenager burned himself imitating a stunt from this TV show.
What is the Pepsi commercial?
Like I said, this is easy. You'll get this.
Derek, it's your chance to steal.
What is Jackass?
Right, Jackass. Seen those boys on Jackass. They fancy themselves as quite the joke to this. I hope they don't visit the Hannibal house. And I hope my upper plate doesn't slip again. All right, Derek, you're in control.
Let me get TV stuff with two.
This ER star says he's leaving after next season.
Who is Eric LaSalle? Huh?
No. Nope. Dave, it's your chance to steal to grab control again.
Who is Noah Wiley?
Nope. Oh. Dude, it's Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards, nice looking boy. Like to put him in a finger pizza with some Mexican rice and a nice Faygo. All right, Derek, you're in control.
Let me close it out for three.
Brian Gumbel's wife claims he slept with this number of women during their 27-year marriage.
What is two?
Dave, your chance to steal.
What is 200?
No.
Somewhere in between. No. 50.
50 women.
50? 50.
Pretty good for a talk show host with those weird hours. All right, Derek, you're in control.
Let me get XFL teams for one.
All right, here we go. Name that XFL team. New York, New Jersey.
What is executioners?
Dave, your chance to steal.
What are the New York Narcs?
No, guys, it's the Hitman.
Oh, yeah.
And Derek, now you're in control again.
Let me get the XFL for two.
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Gamblers, I don't know.
No. Dave, your chance to steal.
And
we're
that
going
was
back
not
and
in the form of a quest.
Beware, boys, or I'll eat your Achilles tendon.
What are hookers?
Hookers.
No.
Las Vegas hookers, no. The Outlaws.
Outlaws. And Derek, you're in control.
All right, might as well close it out for three.
Memphis.
Memphis. What is?
Dave, your chance to steal.
No idea.
No.
The Maniacs.
The Maniacs.
All the teams I don't know.
You boys better bone up on the XFL. All right, Derek, you're in control.
You get DVD for one.
All right, new on DVD and home video for one. Out this weekend stars Richard Gere.
What is the horse whisperer? what is...
Hey, Dave, your chance to steal.
What is Dr. T and something or other?
I wish I could give...
Dr. T.
No, guys, shut up.
All right.
It's Dr. T and the women. And listen, we have a snack for you.
Oh.
Macaroni. Macaroni and knees.
Oh, I'd love a nice macaroni and knees. That'd be fantastic. Can you sprinkle some dandruff on it?
Yeah. Instead of Parmesan, you got it.
Be fantastic. And for texture, throw in a few nose hairs.
Okay.
All right, Derek. You're in control.
Let me get a DVD and video for two.
Stars John Travolta.
It is General's daughter.
All right, Dave, it's your chance to seal boys. I'd like you both to start behaving yourself, okay? Or I'll eat your lower lips with some lima beans and a nice coffee.
What, are you running out now?
I'm running out of them.
All right, go, seal.
What is Battleship Earth?
No, Battlefield Earth.
And we're going back and forth. And now,
nope,
Derek, you're in control. What was that?
So nobody saw that movie.
Was that you, Dave?
Yeah.
Ah.
Do it.
All right, you're down to $7 now. We take another dollar away from Dave. And Derek, you're in control.
Let me close it out. DVD video for three.
Stars Jamie Foxx.
What is Bait?
Got it.
$3 for you. You've tied the game, Derek. Way to go. Congratulations. Is that the end of the first round?
That's it, Hannibal.
Way to go. Fantastic, boys. Nice competition.
All right, Derek, Dave. Hold on just a second. We will be back for a final Loba to Jeopardy, Hannibal.
Fantastic.
Right after this. Hold on. And we also have some glazed donuts for you.
Nothing like a nice glazed donut.
No, no, a glazed...
Oh, donut. Fantastic.
Glazed donut.
Keep them coming, or I'll eat your eyebrows.
Goddamn. Rob.
From the bowels of his soul.
You know, if only he was half this funny during the real show.
Right.
You know, today's the day that I get macaroni and knees and glazed donuts.
How about I eat his hemorrhoids?
Oh.
Yes, sir. Are we getting gross now? Yeah.
Yeah.
With a box of Bugles and a nice chocolate milk.
We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
You still wake up sometimes, don't you? Wake up in the dark. Hear the screaming of the lamb.
Wearing their game day attire, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
There you were again in the movie.
Yeah, I was saying that to Buzz just the other day. You still wake up sometimes, don't you?
I do.
In the middle of the show.
Weekly.
Just kidding. Just joking over there.
Yeah.
I don't want to make you a punching bag today. You might get my cat.
We're good. What do you smell now?
Thought I smelled your traffic reporter.
Oh, lane closure?
Oh, must have been something else. A car driving by. Not quite sure. Fantastic. How you doing, Donnie?
It could have been lane closure.
Lane closure, not a real name. You gave her that name.
Yeah.
You like to give people names, and you like to make little dolls of them also, don't you?
Her real name is Kristen.
Put on dresses, take them off, on and off, on and off, as the wee hours go away. You kick your wife out of the house occasionally, and you say, I'm going to stick around. But in fact, you got a tool chest filled with all sorts of dolls, replicas of everybody on the show. Certain ones you treat real nice, others you don't treat nice. Certain ones have body parts, miss. That's right, Donnie. I know what you do with your tool chest. Bring it in sometime to amuse all the boys.
Let's play final low budget Jeopardy now.
Very good, goody, goody.
We have Derek and Dave. Hello, boys.
What's up? Hello.
All right, here we go with final low budget Jeopardy. Don't forget, Jesus, answer in the form of a question, okay?
Very good.
And here is your category. 14 years ago today.
I didn't do it.
On February 9th, 1987, this Bon Jovi record was number one on the album charts. All right, dudes?
All right.
14 years ago today, this Bon Jovi record was number one on the album charts. Don't forget to answer in the form of a question, and good luck.
All contestants will receive a package of Hannibaloni. The sandwich loaf with zing. Hannibaloni's made with all natural ingredients and tastes great because it's made fresh daily with only the finest byproducts. herbs, spices, and human slices. Remember what I also say. When you bite into a slice of Hanna Bologna, you'll taste the goodness right down to your bony. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Ah, thank you, animal.
No, it didn't.
That's okay. Animal.
I'll be pleasuring myself later. Very good. I do that after every killing.
My baloney has a first name. It's H-A-N-N-I-B-A-L.
It would be H-A-N-N-I-B-O-L-O-N-I. Yes, sorry. Hannah Maloney.
Who do I want to talk to here first?
They're both tied. You can choose either Derek or Dave.
Then let's go to Derek, okay? Derek, 14 years ago today, Feb 9, 1987, this Bon Jovi record, hello, was number one on the album charts.
Uh-huh. What is Welcome to the Jungle? Who knows?
I love that. Yeah, I love that Bon Jovi classic.
No, sorry. Let me see. Dave, you can be the big wiener if you have the right answer.
What is Dead or Alive?
Dead or Alive also incorrect. Fellows, a little thing called Slippery When Wet.
Ah, Slippery When Wet. All the good things are Slippery When Wet.
Slippery When Wet. Guys, that means that this is the type of game that Alan Limewan loves. We're giving away no cash.
Ah, fantastic.
I do parting is such sweet sorrow. Don't go away, Matt. Just go away. Here now is Hannibal the Cannibal to tell you about your parting gift, Hannibal.
So long, boys. Wish you could have stayed longer, but you're both one of Valentine's Day Bear Graham. To send a Bear Graham for Valentine's Day, call 1-800-829-BEAR. Or shop online at VermontTeddyBear.com. And if you're really nice, I'll throw in my special gram.
What's that?
It's a Hannibal liver gram. Delivered fresh to your door. Everybody loves a liver gram with a box of chocolate.
Thank you, Dave, and thank you, Derek.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, and thank you for playing the game. Well, listen, good luck with the movie. Charlie Stossel says it's going to make $50 million this weekend.
I hope you enjoy it, Donnie. I really do. And to everybody on your show, just remember, I'll be watching you.
Right.
Fantastic.
All right, well, Hannibal the Cannibal.
Yes, how's Dennis Murphy doing? I ate his hat.
Well, hold on. Speak of the devil.
He knows. Oh, now he's going to tell the truth.
Hi, Hannibal.
You remember that day when you were at my book signing, Dennis?
Yes.
You reached out a little too far.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What did it taste like, Hannibal?
Tasted good. I chased it down with some great knee-high and a bag of chips. Good luck, Dennis. I hope you're not gone. This is going well. Goodbye.
You love that.
Our new Shameless Low for the show, Whoa, Whoa.
You know he was on the phone?
Had no idea. Must have been some sort of kinetic energy we had together.
All right. Hannibal, always remember to never forget the Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of...
Of French Kiss Productions and is distributed by King World. I did that with him, too.
Spooky.
He didn't know that he was on the phone, huh?
No.
No, we got two regulars on the phone.
Kind of weird.
And actually, it said on the screen, Dennis wanted to call to ask Hannibal how his hand tasted. That was a case of two great minds thinking alike.
Very weird. It just popped into my head like ESP.
All right, now we have Mr. Forney on the phone.
All right.
And Lisa tells me that it is a wasted Mr. Forney.
Like more wasted than he normally is?
I guess so. Right.
Only reason I'm wasted, Joe, because I've been holding it for like 2 hours. I'm in the hood. Yo, I'm representing from the straight KDY, Kennedy Street. We out there on Floss, and we just was trying to call y'all to chill.
Oh, so you're on Kennedy Street.
Yes.
Are you with your homies?
I'm with all my boys. Hey, all my boys, hey.
All of them standing around a trash can, you know, with a fire and keeping warm.
The KDY, the car where we just chilling, man. I've been waiting for like a minute.
How you feeling, Mr. 40?
I'm feeling fine.
how many?
I'm feeling fine. Hey, hold on, don't distract me though, because this is what happened yesterday. I was calling yesterday to tell y'all. Remember that picture that the bride brought by the station?
The picture that was the picture of you and I that was made up entirely.
Yeah,
of,
when your whole cheek was like five asses.
Yeah, right. Vaginas and asses.
It's on the website now, Mr40.com.
Gotcha.
We just put it up the other day.
Hey, listen, did we ever get you the tickets for that Playboy NBA party?
I don't know. That was something that was supposed to happen like today or tomorrow. I'm just calling because I forgot to say that. Look, we celebrating Black Thanksgiving right now.
I know. Now, 40, you tell me something. I read that Michael Wilbon wrote that in the newspaper.
It was the day before you said it. It was the paper the day before you said it.
All right, but is that true that in the black communities of D.C. that the NBA All-Star Game is
really... The All-Star Game is like a big deal. It's like either you getting food, you getting liquor, or you getting sex. It's like, you know, I've had sex through like the whole All-Star Game and back in the day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But
so it is the black
Thanksgiving. It's one or the other. I mean, I don't really cook a turkey for it, but it's yeah.
And Bugs, just, Mike, if you can look right there, Bugs has just pulled up Mr. 40's website. And, in fact, the picture of our faces made up entirely of women's buttocks and vaginas is up on Mr40.com.
Hey, that transferred really well, Mr. 40. That looks good.
Yeah, that's on the site. Hey,
I have to give you your props for that.
You better give me my props.
Right.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
A squirrel is a guy that makes me fly.
I don't know what he said.
That was some funny ass.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, look.
I think he's talking about when I did this song.
We out in the parking lot.
Grady.
Hey, Grady.
It's Grady Smoke, baby.
Hi, Grady Smoke. How are things on Kennedy?
Things are all right. It's a nice day. We'll be doing it up. We're eating turkey.
Mm. Are you eating turkey right now?
Oh, Black Thanksgiving.
I just finished splitting something, and now I'm getting ready to stuff it and roll it around.
Oh, well, nah, he's not having turkey, he's having something else.
A little heat to it.
Yeah.
After I put the heat to it, it'll be almost done. And when it's done, I'll be ready to lay down and go to sleep.
Super.
Gotcha. Hey, put Mr. 40 back on.
All right, hey. Y'all stay up.
All right, thank you, Grady Smoke.
You're welcome. Hey, Grady Smoke, baby.
That's right.
Grady Smoke, baby.
Hey, Grady Smoke coming out right after my drone coming out, man.
He is a drunk boy. He is a wasted boy. He is a drunk boy.
Hey, look, y'all was singing the Bow Wow, though. I'm telling you, when my album come out, you'll be like, when Mike sings like, yeah. Mr. 40.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you about your brother, Grady Smoke. He's really cool.
He's real. He's keeping it real. That's what he's doing. He's keeping it real. Not real to real.
He's 40, listen, if you get into the NBA Playboy party, bring a tape recorder tomorrow.
All right, what's up? I mean, I got any tickets. What's going on?
I don't know. Hold on. I'll let you talk to Charlie. Hold on. Have a great weekend.
Hey, I'm going to have a great weekend either way because we got everybody out here. We all we partying, man.
Yeah, we are. You the man.
If any of your listeners is riding up Kennedy Street right now, tell them put over in the car wash, man. We doing it.
Okay, gotcha. Hold on. Hold on, 40. Jesus.
That's Mr. 40, ladies and gentlemen.
Jesus. He is a drunk boy.
He is a drunky boy.
There he is, Mr. 40.
Just your brother.
More out of control than I've heard him ever.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he's well into his Friday night.
Down on Kennedy Street.
In the having hood. A good time.
Hey, if anybody's just cruising tonight.
Yeah, sure. You're the invitation.
Go on down to Kennedy Street. Yeah. Just go by the car wash.
Yeah, the car wash lane.
It's time for news and comments now.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's Buzz.
He made it up.
Hey, Buzz, what is the lead story tonight on the news in the comments?
Tonight, O.J. Simpson faces jail again.
O.J.
O.J.
Mm-hmm. O.J. He is a killing boy. He is a killing boy.
All right, stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned for news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Don Show.
That was very...
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Well, we are...
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
I don't know why that cart always trips twice.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Sometimes three times.
Yeah, sometimes
three
times.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Well, it's totally gone mad. It's got, like, no stop going
What's
on.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
All right, it's time for the news. There, finally stopped.
Yeah.
Good.
With Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. O.J. Simpson turned himself into police in suburban Miami today to face charges of burglary and assault.
O.J.
Who would they leave him alone?
O.J.
God, he's persecuted.
Yes, he is.
A felony burglary for reaching into a guy's car and grabbing his glasses. Assault, or actually a misdemeanor battery, for scratching the guy's face in the process. At least those are the charges. This all has to do with the road rage incident O.J. had with another motorist there back in early December.
O.J.
Simpson's attorney calls it a misunderstanding and says Simpson was not the aggressor. Simpson did post $9,000 bond to keep his freedom today. He could face jail over this because of the seriousness of the charges, but he's confident it won't come to that.
Ah,
here's tape of O.J. now.
O.J. Simpson.
This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is a fancy man. This is a fancy man.
I don't remember him singing. O.J. Simpson, being confident about the charges.
Here he is.
Told you.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a better one than that.
Here he is. O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, screw it. No, now I got to get it out.
Damn. Listen, if you killed your wife, just burp again. Thank you for being honest.
Your answer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Here he is, really.
I thought it was a non-incident, and I think the facts will show that. One of the reasons, as these guys know, that I'm vigorously, I don't want any deals, I don't want anything. I want to contest this.
Oh, poor you.
Yeah.
Doesn't even sound like him.
No, O.J. says he's not sorry that the kids were in the car when this altercation occurred.
Of course not.
He's more sorry that they have to see what's going on with the legal system and him today.
O.J.
One serious story this evening. The man convicted of killing Bill Cosby's son has decided to stop fighting it. Mikhail Markusev is dropping his appeals. He's confessing to the crime and apologizing to the Cosby family. Markusev says it's his duty as a Christian after, quote, the great wickedness for which I am responsible. 27-year-old Ennis Cosby shot to death while fixing a flat near a freeway off-ramp in Los Angeles. Markusev has been sentenced to life in prison without parole.
Oh, so he confessed to it.
He did.
Oh, that's good. Kill him.
A New York lawmaker wants to beef up the state's Son of Sam law after reports of a prison inmate making nearly $1 million on the stock market.
Son of Sam.
This is Sam Huff.
No, not that Sam.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Hi, boy.
Under the lawmaker.
This is Sam Huff.
Son.
Under the lawmaker's proposal, that money would be confiscated and turned over to the state's Victims Assistance Fund. The Son of Sam law exists to make sure that criminals don't profit financially.
This is Sam Huff.
From their crime. By, say, selling their story as a book or a movie. The law doesn't cover the inmate investor, but it may soon. The prisoner used a payphone to instruct his father on what to buy and sell and when.
And that, again, that was in the Son of Sam?
Son of Sam law.
This is Sam Huff.
Right, gotcha. No charges are being filed against the guy who walked off with $640,000 that fell out of an armored truck. The man who works in downtown Cleveland picked up the 126 pounds of money, but turned it in today to the Federal Reserve Bank.
Get to know Charlie.
Joe! Look what I found in this jeep!
Get to know Charlie.
Yeah, I'm Charlie.
The FBI says the man told him he turned it in because he was afraid the bills were marked.
Mm-hmm.
They say he also...
That's what Joe told me.
He also felt pressure to be honest because...
I marked the bills myself.
Oh, you should have done that.
How did you mark them, Charlie?
I peed on them.
Oh, Charlie. They say he also felt pressure to be honest because his description was being broadcast on radio and TV.
Yeah, I heard it. Giant 6'8" guy.
Right.
About 400 pounds.
Uh-huh.
Crew cut, overalls, no shirt, no shoes.
I described the Bills when I called in.
Did you?
The Bills are green, wrinkled, and smell like urine.
Get to know Charlie. the man who was shot outside the White House this week faces only one charge in the end, assaulting a federal officer. Ronald Pickett could get 10 years for that.
Oh, come on, fry him.
But he could have been charged with illegally carrying a firearm, which would have netted him an additional 5 years.
How close was Pickett to the fences?
No.
Good question. Sorry.
I apologize.
Pickett's still being held at the hospital that treated his leg wound. He'll be in court on Monday or Tuesday.
But I say fry him. Put him a nice pan, put it on Fox Television. Let's fry that bastard. There you go.
It was a string of embarrassing episodes for NBC News this week. First, during the coverage of the shooting at the White House, an MSNBC reporter was caught on camera applying his makeup. And across the bottom of the screen was a graphic saying the shooter was 17 years old. The shooter was 47.
Right.
And then on the nightly news that same evening, as Brian Williams filled in for Tom Brokaw, someone left his microphone on during a commercial.
What did he say?
So during the newscast's first live feed of the evening for East Coast viewers, he was heard responding to a crew member's joke about the death of Dale Evans.
Oh, great.
Oh, no.
What Williams said wasn't so bad, but the network was horribly embarrassed that it got out at all.
What did he say?
What he said was, let them bury the poor woman. They're making trigger jokes out here. The lawyer for the mayor of Miami says the bump on the head of the mayor's wife is, and I quote, the result of an unfortunate accident.
Right. And so was OJ's wife getting her head cut off.
The lawyer is accusing police of railroading the mayor, who spent the night in jail in solitary confinement Wednesday night. Mayor Joe Carollo was hauled away by police accused of hitting his wife in the head with a terracotta tea canister. The 45-year-old male was released.
Buzz?
Yes?
Maybe she just wouldn't listen.
Who knows? He was released on $1,500 bond and has been ordered to stay away from the missus. The couple was reportedly in the process of getting a divorce, but Mrs. Carollo told police she doesn't think her husband meant to hurt her.
No, she threw a teapot at her head.
Yeah. Here, have some tea.
Hold on a second.
All right.
We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.